Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's here. We are live. By the grace of God, it is Friday, February 10th, 2012, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Bob is not going to be with us today. He'll be back with us next Friday, but we do have Lyndon LaRouche joining us to give us his breakdown on the continuing financial implosion with the world economy by design and what's happening, of course, with the war drums beating louder and louder in the Middle East and Central Asia. There is open talk now of basically having a war with Pakistan and expanding drone attacks inside that country, the Washington Times and others are reporting. There's open talk, as you know, and troops and hardware, ships, aircraft massing around Iran. Proxy wars using known al-Qaeda groups are launching attacks in Syria. They've taken over Libya, and they're now launching attacks inside Iran, and it's in Associated Press, NBC, Washington Post. They're going, Israel is running al-Qaeda groups in Iran. Israel is running al-Qaeda groups in Syria, and they're admitting it's al-Qaeda. But something strange is happening. You never hear the United States or NATO are involved, or England. They're all involved. So you're seeing this stand-back position in rhetoric from the United States, from England, from NATO, from France, and from some of the other Arab states who've all got commandos and assets involved on record, to just say Israel's doing it. And that's part of a wider double game. But it is certainly bizarre that the globalists are this reckless, but they don't think like we do. And they know that because they're in control of the governments, no matter how big the crisis gets, they believe they can continue to pose as the saviors and manipulate the public through the controlled media to give them more power, to give up more of our liberties as these crises deepen. It's like the six global megabanks openly setting up the derivatives fraud, putting their people in government over the last few decades, buying up most of our society, our infrastructure, from media to military, from energy to raw materials and farming, as the Ponzi scheme expanded. And now as it implodes, holding everyone hostage, saying, give us unlimited funds or everything will melt down. And then the very groups that engineered the fraud, the authors of our pain, the authors of our current predicament, our dire straits, pose as our saviors, and the talking head teleprompter reader, Painted Tarts and others, sit up there on television and go along with the absurdity that is our modern culture. Now, I'm going to go to break, and again, we do have Lyndon LaRouche joining us. I'm going to have Derek Brose popping in, who's within the Fed in Houston. I've met him, and they were just having a little event, First Amendment event. The police showed up and started cocking shotguns on them and stuff, and it fits into all this other crazy video, and the cops say, hey, we've got freedom, Constitution, and they said, your freedom ends now, and are like, cock the shotgun and get off on it just because people are yelling at them and saying we have freedom. Let me tell you, folks, this is the kind of thing that's going to lead to civil war. All it's going to take is an event like this with the police attacking some type of patriot or liberty event. It's not going to be like Waco next time when you guys are burning down a church with some kids in it. You need to understand, I'm trying to really defuse the situation here. The American people are not cowards. They've had incredible restraint. You got a tiger by the tail. And you know it in your gut.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, we are going to have wide open phones throughout the broadcast today. We'll have open phones in the third hour when Lyndon LaRouche, love him, hate him, he's got amazing contacts inside government and intelligence agencies around the world. Former CIA director under Reagan said that, and it's certainly true today as it was then, and he has predicted much of what's happening in our society. Doesn't mean I agree with all of his solutions. A little bit of a centralized government-centered system. But I do agree with his overall analysis of the problem. So Lyndon LaRouche will be joining us coming up to talk about the world crisis that's deepening in the third hour today. Now, I do want to take a lot of calls today, and so I'm going to give the number out now, and you're welcome to call in about any subject you wish. Toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Now, if you go to Infowars.com, there's an article that I'm going to read much of in the second hour today, but I want to direct your attention to it right now. The state has declared war on the American people is the headline. It says U.S. citizens are now the primary target of the war on terror by Paul Joseph Watson. And I also contributed to the report. With the announcement that 30,000 drones are expected to fill American skies, the U.S. government has officially declared war on the American people, turning to technology normally used to hunt down insurgents abroad as the whole arsenal on the war on terror is refocused domestically. And it was always designed for that. And we have the FBI training manuals. We have the New York Times reporting on Boy Scouts training to spy on their parents. I mean, this is you know, how to be honorable now. Telescreens going up saying, trust no one but Big Brother. TSA setting up checkpoints on highways. It's all happening. And this report goes over that fact. And this is the most important thing I can say, because it's on record and it's a fact. Globalist outside special interest have come in just like a foreign government and paid off politicians, paid off bureaucrats, put their people into power, run their politicians, and have taken over almost the entire country. Now they're demonizing anybody in government or anybody in law enforcement or the military who is aware of basic facts and not some mindless American Idol viewer or sports fan who only cares about sports. Again, we bash sports a lot here, not because sports are bad, but because we notice that most people who are totally uninformed and don't care about liberty and support tyranny will tell you, I'm a sports fan. I don't care about politics. This isn't politics. This is your life. This is the world. This is having a population worldwide that isn't engaged and isn't informed, being dominated and usurped by special interest. Guys, I know you printed it for me yesterday. I never got to it. Will you repull me that Cicero quote? I want to read that today because it is so central. It's a Cicero quote on the traitor is the plague. So good. That was last night's nightly news quote as well. Sure, put a full screen up, and I will read it to the radio listeners, and obviously PrisonPlanet.tv viewers can read it for themselves on the screen. But we are at the big crossroads. In fact, we're leaving the crossroads soon. The future of our society is being decided right now. And the system knows you're waking up. They know the people are getting upset. And that's why they're dispensing with any pretense of freedom. And going, yeah, we're going to start censoring the web. Yeah, the troops are on the streets for the American people. Yeah, we'll arrest you if we want. The Washington Post has an article about a CIA torture base in North Carolina with the double barbed wire and the torture base and the aircraft and the fact that U.S. citizens are picked up and taken to it. There's your FEMA camp right there. Washington Post. See? But it still doesn't exist, and I'm bad to talk about it because I say it's wrong. Just like, no exaggeration, if you type into a search engine like Google and click news and type in world government in the news section, every day there's around, some days there's thousands, but most days there's 100 or more mainstream articles calling for global government and global taxes. And there's also articles side by side with the word global government attacking yours truly, saying I'm insane. And you know what? I guess I am insane because I get angry about my liberty being destroyed, about dungeons being set up, about open criminality, the police being trained to trample my rights. I know danger when I see it. I just got chills. Just got chills again. You get chills when you're at the edge of a cliff. You get chills when you see a car run a red light and hit somebody in front of you. I've seen that. You get chills when you're seeing something super dangerous. You ever been out in the woods, walking by yourself back towards the farm? You walked a little too far. The moon's coming up. It's gotten dark. You're a mile away from home. You're a mile away from grandma's house. And you hear 20, 30 coyotes howling and barking and getting all fired up for the night's hunt. And even though you've got a 308 bolt action Remington 700, you still are scared. Those old instincts. You're not even scared, you're awake. You feel that tingle. Or you're walking through the woods in the early morning and a mountain lion about 60 yards away just runs like a ghost in between some brush, and you see that big old mountain lion. And do you even tell the deer hunters when you get back later that you saw it, or will you sound like somebody telling fish stories because you only saw it for 2 seconds? Saw it look at you by the time your eyes focused. Phew, that mountain lion was looking right at you. You see, that's why you get those chills. It's called basic instinct. Got CBS News. And I had a feeling when I saw this last night at drudgereport.com, I had a feeling that when I saw this, that if I typed in police war room, that I would see it all over the country because they always announce it at once, and there were a whole bunch of articles around the country where the police are now watching the cameras, face scanning, license plate reading, in a war. They're now warriors fighting crime. No, you're not. You're warriors collecting revenue to give it to the city that gives it to the city manager, who's an operative of the mega banks, who takes the money into investments, steals all of it, and you'll never get your pension fund. And I've got articles from all over the world, including the U.S., where the police are being told you're not going to be getting your pension fund or you're going to get a tiny bit of it. You're being robbed even by the masters that use you to enforce this crime syndicate. And because you're under groupthink, most of you are going to go along with it. I saw an article out of Europe where, Belgium? Where the firefighters are battling police because they're basically being told that they're going to have 90% of their pensions taken for austerity because everything must go in the banker bailout to the bankers that created the derivatives and got government to sign on to it. But instead of them going to jail and losing their, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20, 30, 40 billion apiece that these criminal bankers have of stolen money, no, you're not going to get your pension fund. And there's the cops billy clubbing the firefighters, and the cops are going to lose their money too. But the firefighters are heroes. They actually go out and do risk their lives and are public servants like police used to be. Not just revenue-generating tax collectors and wannabe tough guys. Yeah, Brussels brought to standstill as protesting firefighters turn their hoses on cops. Yeah, they were protesting last week and some cops billy clubbed them. So the firefighters came back with fire engines and blasted them with the water cannons. And what are the cops going to do? Shoot them? You idiot police are going to lose your pension too, you morons. oh, but it has to happen because government's too big. I don't even like big government because always whatever you invest in the pension gets stolen, like Social Security, any of it. The bankers aren't going to let you have that. Those of you that have been on Social Security think it's such a great deal. If you put it in a guaranteed investment of 3.5% a year, you would have gotten more than double on average what you get out of Social Security. But you think you're getting a good deal. So the point is, though, that now the money's been stolen, and now that you put it in there, the point is you shouldn't lose your entire way of life and the economy all to bail out the bankers. You know, now they're calling people's pensions that they've paid into entitlements and welfare. That's a new thing I'm hearing. And of course, I've got to pay more taxes. I got to pay my fair share, always more, 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 as if I haven't paid enough. There's never enough for the bankers. They want to destroy the economy. They know overtaxation destroys economies. They know what they're doing. But here it is, LAPD watching everyone in a war room against the population. And here's the Washington Post. 10 years later, CIA rendition program still divides North Carolina town. Oh, there's some people that don't like the secret prison and whoever's taken there in black trucks and flown out. I mean, right here is a black op, black site, ghost site, death camp. Of course, they fly mainly to Romania out of there, it's come out, where there's an underground base at a horse track. And that's where they torture everybody. And then the article says there's these bad Americans that go out and protest it. I mean, because, you know, there's no camps. There's just that thing with a prison and barbed wire and aircraft.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame.
You know, I was thinking to myself, how have we gotten to this point where on the news they're saying the Pentagon will arrest you secretly and kill you if they want, or torture you. We have torture sites everywhere. We have emergency centers. We're training the military for civil unrest. We're setting up threat fusion centers. The local police are spying on you. We've got telescreens saying don't trust your neighbors. TSA at the Super Bowl and local sports events grabbing your private parts. But there's no truth to a police state or a plan to put Americans in FEMA camps. But there are secret sites where we grab people and hold them in the U.S. and put them on aircraft and fly them out of the country. And then aircraft out of this very base crash in Mexico full of pure cocaine and diplomatic immunity. I mean, that's who the government is at the top. And you've got all these naive, sheep-like feds. You know, the FBI has been here before with a subpoena dealing with somebody moronically on the comment section threatening to kill police and giving out their names and home phone numbers. Not very smart. But when they got here, they wouldn't tell me why they were here. They just had a subpoena for us, some IP addresses. And so, but the cops were asking me, oh, what's the, or, you know, there was an Austin cop with them as well. What's the Obama poster on the wall? And I go, you know who I am. They're like, yeah, we know who you are. Well, I'm a talk show host. That's a film. They're like, oh. I'm like, oh, you're trying to imply I'm doing something wrong. So I just bowed up to them and I said, you know, the government's on record shipping drugs in congressional hearings. And the FBI people are like, no, we're not. I'm like, I don't like that the FBI has been calling here asking my office people in the last few days about the Obama deception. And it just went on from there. And I'm sitting there talking to them, and I'm going over all of the admitted crimes that are going on. Yeah, that's some new aircraft that crashed with cocaine, guys, that you've put on screen. The CIA aircraft I'm talking about was 2008. It was 4 tons of it in Mexico. But I guess that's some new aircraft. But the point is, the reason it matters is if we show some other aircraft that's crashed with cocaine, people go look that up. And then if it's not the CIA aircraft, they'll think we were showing that and that it wasn't the one I was talking about. And then they'll say that I was trying to give them disinfo. There it is. Daily cost. CIA torture jet wrecks with 4 tons of cocaine. 2007. And then there was a Reuters report on it as well. That's where that comes from. Okay, thank you. Good job. Now, continuing here, I start lecturing him. And the guy's like, I'm getting tired of this. And it just goes on and on until I basically, after about 30 minutes, henpeck them out of the office and follow them out to the car. I mean, I've not done anything wrong. Don't come around here acting like you're high and mighty. You work for a government that kidnaps little kids and blows their heads off in snuff films on record, that kidnaps women and children by the hundreds of thousands. Oh, you don't believe me? UN report more than 1 million women and children trafficked out of Europe alone from 2001 to 2007. This is huge industrial operation. You work for a government that brings in almost all the narcotics and orders the troops to grow the opium. So don't come around here high and mighty. Just because you're a Nazi soldier for Hitler in 1938 and you haven't done anything wrong, and you just wear your uniform and go around, you know, inspecting people or whatever, and you're like, I don't want to hear about Hitler being bad. Doesn't matter. You still work for Hitler. You still work for Stalin, for Mao, for Julius Caesar, for Pol Pot. You still work for crooks. You're illegitimate, and I don't recognize you, period. You're all over TV with senators, traitorous globalists, saying, we'll arrest citizens, we'll kill U.S. citizens, we'll do whatever we want. That's why a cop pulls me over. I know I'm not speeding. I'm like, why have I been pulled over? Well, we're going to check your window tint and what's in the vehicle. I'm like, okay, so this is some kind of fishing expedition. Oh, you got any drugs or alcohol? What's in that? Okay, you just did it. Now you're getting preached at. What's in your car? What are you doing? Statistically, you're probably more criminal than I am, than the average person. I'm done. I'm not on some guilt trip. I'm not bowing down and licking your boots anymore. You got it? I'm done. And people that work for the system better stop being in denial. I am sick and tired of FBI agents, Secret Service people, they've been here a couple times, trying to, number one, act tough and intimidate me. It makes me want to throw up. They're little boys in dress up. Hey, Secret Service, you like drinking the tap water? They put a couple hundred poisons in there, buddy. You like your mommy and daddy, how they died of cancer? How about you dying early? You like the globalists killing you?
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Sets me free. Welcome back. Well, the sun sets me free. I don't serve the New World Order. Let me just read a few of these headlines, and we've got a guest popping in for about 10 minutes. Then I'm going to your calls for the rest of the hour, the entire second hour, and much of the third hour with Lyndon LaRouche coming up today. But here it is. 10 years later, CIA rendition, that's a kidnapping and torture center program, still divides North Carolina town. And it describes the hangars and the prison base and the barbed wire and the people being driven in and the planes landing and taking off. But there's no camps. No, there's just Rex 84, the civilian inmate labor camp program, camps we've identified, camps I've been to, newscasts where they put protesters in, the FEMA center. I mean, I played 4 clips of newscasts talking about people put in FEMA camps at protest. I've had one of my reporters taken to a military base. People are being taken off trucks with bags on their heads. Their crime? Filming police at the G20 a day after it was over, marching onto the university park at 8 o'clock at night with people out there eating hamburgers at the park and saying, get out of here. And everybody's like, but it's the university. And they attack everyone. I mean, it's so shameful to watch this type of stuff. And then I remember seeing this footage a while back, and the police defended it, but it turned out the man was in a coma. a diabetic coma. He's not resisting, and they're kicking him in the head, full power, saying, stop resisting, and the guy's in a coma. That happens all the time to retarded children, autistic people. And then they went ahead and charged him with assaulting them, but then their own dash cams came out, and so now the city's had to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who was in diabetic shock. But good for Nevada actually paying. In fact, later I'll show you some of that footage for a radio listener. Just go online. But in a lot of cases, I've seen cases now in New York and Illinois on the news where cops will be at a bar and just beat up the bartender or beat up somebody else, sometimes in uniform, or cold cock a woman for no reason. And then they go, we're no billing it. You're just allowed to. Well, look, when there's no justice in the courts, there's going to start being justice on the street. And it's just incredible. Oh, all the different videos of them cold cocking women and beating people up in bars and being allowed to? I mean, all this is thugs who were cowards and who were out of control and who were tough guys. You know, if you want to beat somebody up, go join Golden Gloves, or go, if you're young, or go join a boxing club, or go join a jiu-jitsu club or a Krav Maga club. I mean, believe me, there's a lot of people in there who want to fight with you. Oh, but it's not some motorist you get to beat up and taser for no reason, or some old woman. It's actually guys that like to fight men. Yeah, and don't play the audio, though, because it's just so much profanity. But the guy is in a diabetic shock. And, again, there's earlier video, too, of when he's in the car and they're kicking him through the window. The cop is like karate kicking him through the window in the head. I mean, what is the point of that? Well, they want to beat somebody up. Oh, six guys on a guy in a coma? And going into diabetic shock, who went into a coma? I mean, I've seen this footage of like autistic kids. You've all seen on the news where the person's obviously autistic, obviously has brain damage, obviously has a problem. And the cops walk up and say, give me your ID. And the person's like, ooh. And they're like, I told you, give it to me. I mean, anybody can look and see this person's just got out of the state hospital. Anybody can look and tell this person's had a lobotomy. Anybody can look and see this person's been run over by a truck. I mean, you see it all the time. Brain damaged people, old people. There's been a couple cases in Austin where they shoot mentally retarded people in East Austin. I mean, you got some, you know, 300-pound guy with Down syndrome screaming, I want to go to my mommy, so you shoot them. I mean, let the poor, mentally retarded person run home to their mommy. Oh, you're going to show them, though. They didn't listen to you, so you're going to put a bullet in their back. Or I saw one video where the mentally retarded black guy was waving a little stick around. Oh, yeah, let's not let the mentally retarded guy cool himself down and go on about his business. Let's just go ahead and kill him. You know, you're 20 feet away. He's got a little twig in his hand. You're a real man. You just shot a retarded person. Look, you don't need cowards on police forces. People that are so scared that they're going to use deadly force. Listen, I see cases all the time where somebody comes at a cop with a knife and they shoot him. Great, kill him. Somebody comes at you with a gun. Kill him. Blow him away. Somebody does it to me, I'm going to kill him. Defend yourself. There's a real issue. But I've seen cases where they shoot a 11-year-old because they had a shard of glass in their hand and the cop's 10 feet away. And so you shoot the 11-year-old. I mean, or I see cases where they break a girl's arm because she didn't pick the crumbs up off the ground fast enough. And you look at these people, they're always big, pot-bellied bullies. And again, I've run into a lot of police. I've got family that are police. They're nice. They're into farming, ranching, hunting, and they're tough guys, and they're not looking for trouble. But more and more, they're hiring these cowards. I'll say it right now, and I know that's not It's a stereotype, but what is it with women police? Some women police are great, but the few problems I've had with police is it's women because they've got something to prove. They're scared. They're going to show you. They're going to show you they're the boss, and they're looking to get in somebody's face, and they're looking for trouble. All right, I'm already ranting here. Just during the last few breaks, I was watching the latest police brutality videos, and look, they're so amped up Yeah, there it is. Family furious after Calumet City police shoot kill boy with autism. How old is that little kid? I see this all the time. I see this all the time. And it's scary. I mean, it's scary. All right, that's enough. We're going to go to our guest, then we'll go to John, Jackie, John, Linda. It's the day of the Johns. We're going to get to all of you. That's all coming up. The Russians have drilled into Lake Vostok, the oldest lake in the world, 20 million years old under the Antarctic ice sheet, thinking they're going to find new life forms. This is like going to another planet. This is cool. So we're going to be going over that. I've got new news on Janet Napolitano and what she's up to. I've got spying on farms with satellite and drones. Oh, yes. How did we know the drones would be used to spy on your farm? Make sure you don't build that barn under the new sustainability rules that aren't even really laws. Oh, because the drones. And by the way, they're just announcing this now. I saw articles a decade ago. I don't know, 2002 or so. Yeah, a decade ago. Where they've got drones over farms in Australia, England, the United States, Canada, you name it. And NSA satellites. And Department of Defense satellites, of course they're watching us. And there was a big furor in Congress. These drones and these satellites are for defense only outside the United States. But now we have NORTHCOM. And so you pay your tax money to have the drones watching you on your farm. What did I tell you a month ago in North Dakota where they had the farmers being watched by the Air Force with the Predator drone? I told you folks, you're the enemy. What did Lou Rockwell say yesterday? Anybody, family, religion, any group you owe your allegiance to that isn't the disgusting New World Order, God-forsaken government, anybody you owe allegiance to is the enemy. That's why the Hollywood and the culture attacks the family, attacks men and women. Men bash women, women bash men. I was just doing it because of the stereotypes, but again, people play into these stereotypes, so there's truth to it. When a man isn't the species, a woman isn't the species, a man and woman joining are the species. And you know, I don't like Santorum. He does what he does for rhetoric. But when he gets up there and says, you know, the family is sacred and important and marriage is an important institution. And I saw the media, it was a Washington Post, you know, calling him a marriager, like it's a birther or a truther. Oh, he's into that marriage. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, that's what humanity is. And those of you that don't want to get married, great. Just don't attack us. But the system makes it fashionable. They say it's fashionable to get rid of the Bill of Rights. Time Magazine, Newsweek, New York Times, CNN. It's fashionable. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of it. They openly say that now. And I hear trendies now going, oh, that's old. We're doing what's trendy. So I talk about trendiness. If they said it was trendy to jump off cliffs, people would do it. I'm telling you, if Madonna or somebody said jump off cliffs, her idiot fans, some of them would do it to be trendy. What is trendiness? We've got new styles out this year. That's to make you buy a whole new wardrobe and then have people laugh at you if you're wearing the old style. Wear what you want. You want tattoos all over? You do it. You want to wear a cowboy hat or a fedora? Do it. You want to just wear what's simple and easy, black t-shirt? Do it. I don't care how you look or what you do. It's the content of your mind. But this idea of doing whatever's trendy. I see these magazines around Austin. It says, you don't want to be trendy. You want to do what's trending. And I see these people who aren't even real people. They're just into what they supposedly, what outfit they put on. Whatever the system tells them to be. Now, I want to go to this footage. It's all over the Houston Chronicle. It's all over local radio. I saw the FBI in the newspaper saying the police did a great job. The Fed local group. And if you go to Infowars.com, you can see the full write-up. Is basically demonizing the group and talking about how bad they are. It's Houston Free Thinkers that they also are involved in the Fed. And they were just having an event on private property. And the HPD is now investigating clash between officers and partygoers at Houston Free Thinkers event. And so the police show up and start grabbing people. And it's just watching this video of the police strutting around and then cocking his shotgun. And I like the fact that it doesn't intimidate people when he cocks his shotgun on them. They start howling at what cowards they are. And see, that's the thing. Americans, by and large, are not really scared of the system. They're just lazy. But this type of stuff from the police, especially at First Amendment events, this is the type of stuff that could spark off something really bad. Let's go ahead and go to that video and audio. Here it is.
They believe in authority. They don't believe in freedom. They believe in oppression and authority. They don't believe in freedom.
All right, let's go to Derek Bros joining us via video, Skype for this little segment, the next, and I promise I'm going to your calls for the entire next hour. I interspersed a lot of key news I haven't gotten to yet. But, I mean, Derek, you know, this compared to cops stomping autistic kids' heads for no reason and obviously getting off on it or beating a homeless man to death and then lying about it, and those cops have been charged. This is people getting out of control. And I understand you can get it out of control in emotional situations. So I'm not even trying to particularly judge them generally. But the fact that cocking the shotgun and waving guns around at people is being defended in the local media just shows that the establishment media is going to defend this stuff. Exactly what happened?
Okay, hey, Alex, how are you doing? We were having an event here in Houston, the Houston Freethinkers. We do events every 3 weeks. We raise money for local charities, and this one was just a big free party, kind of thanking the community to help us. We're having a lot of success out here, as you know. And so we had 20 bands. We had a bunch of, drinks and free food provided by Food Not Bombs Houston. The police showed up around 10:15. I was notified. I went around the backside to try to talk to them. And about 10 officers showed up for a noise complaint, supposedly. And I tried to work with them, myself and the owner of the venue, the compound, which is actually private property that he lives on and owns. We were telling them we would shut down the back outside stage, and they didn't want to work with us at all. So we kind of went back and forth for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then I saw the cops starting to walk around the private property, and I asked if they had a warrant. And about that time, one of the other officers asked me if I had an ID on me. And that's just sort of me exercising my rights, but I don't carry ID on me. I'm not operating a motor vehicle. But I told them my birth date, my full name, and I made sure they heard me say I'm not failing to identify myself. And one of the officers asked me to come out to his car, and I asked him if I was being detained. He said I was not, so I told him that I would stay where I was at. And at that point, he grabbed me by the arm and tried to pull me, and I sort of stepped back and told him that, you know, while I respect that you're an officer of the law, you're a human being just like me.
And you've got to follow the law, and here's the deal. Now they take people to rendition sites. So in the future, it's going to get to the point when there's no real law and order in government that you don't have a choice. You can't go with them because you could disappear.
Definitely, and that's kind of what we were trying to avoid. I mean, we have the NDA that's passed recently. We've done a lot of action on it. We're very well known by HPD, so I don't want to be going with them anywhere if I'm not being investigated. And at that point, he grabbed me, both my arms, and started pulling me, and I turned to the crowd that was there and told them, I'm being illegally detained, and everybody pulled out their cameras and their cell phones, and they took me out to the street and kind of threw me on the back of the hood of the car. And that's where one of the videos that you can see where Micah Jackson, the other person that was involved in this, he started filming me. We did a quick little interview while I was on the backside of the cop car, and that's in our article on HoustonFreethinkers.com. And after that, everybody started coming to the streets, and people were obviously very upset. They know us through the group, and they know us from putting these events on. And I was being taken away, basically kidnapped off private property into the public street. I wasn't told what was going on. And then I guess when the cops realized the situation was escalating, they quickly shoved me in the back of the cop car. And I was stuck back there. I was never told, what was going on or what I was being charged with. And while I was in the car, the officer that put me in there, he was trying to get the district attorney to accept felony inciting the riot charges on me. But she wouldn't go for it. So I was...
So just because you politely up front said, I don't have my ID on me. You have a Fifth Amendment, by the way. You don't have to. That failure to ID stuff's all been thrown out of court, but they don't care. They still think it's their right to do it. You're there. They've come to you. This is all happening. And now he's trying to get you for inciting a riot, wanting to show you by putting you in jail. And we've got 6 million people in prison. And so we are now the new prison economy. Now, when did it get to the point of pulling the shotgun out and, waving guns around at people?
So I'm in the back of the cop car while the cop is sitting there describing to the DA that there's a couple hundred people, we're all drunk and this and that, trying to make us sound like a mad mob. Micah Jackson, a good friend of mine, is outside of the car. And, you know, rightfully so, people were very upset. So they're expressing their First Amendment. And a lot of people think that that gives the cop justification for what followed. But Micah was out there telling them, this is what a police state looks like. They don't care about authority or about you. They care about authority. And at that point, one of the officers, which you can see in the video, walks up behind with Micah with his back to the woods officer. He grabs him from behind, swings him around, and then some other officers join in and they slam him on the back of the cop car. Where they slammed him was exactly where I was sitting. So I saw him face plant onto the window right there.
Now, let's be clear. Because of his speech, they assaulted him. These guys would be at home in North Korea. And then they pull out the shotguns and stuff to let you know, hey. And there's also, you can hear in the video, they say, your freedom ends tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, they want to live in a country that doesn't have any liberty. They think that's going to be a great place because they can waddle around with shaved heads and giant pot bellies. If you leave me. You know, nobody that I know would want the job police have, going to domestic disturbances, going to houses where there's dead people or, you know, little kids that have been hurt, or having to go out to drunk parties. Look, I don't want the job. So you got to ask yourself, well, then who's going to do it? You know, my whole point is I see now parties at places in downtown Austin and people noise complain and the police come. Why'd you buy an apartment right above where a bar's been for 60 years? But the point is, this is a big facility. They've had parties there. They had a bunch of bands there, hundreds of people. Here come the cops. And our guest, Derek Brose, was being nice, saying, look, you know, I've told you who I am. I'm just trying to talk to you about working with you. And then things escalate. And then they start grabbing people and slamming them into things for saying this is what a police state looks like. Well, that is what a police state looks like when you see this big, bald, obese cop come stomping over and grabbing him and then slamming him into the car, assaulting him like we're scum because someone dared talk back to you. And then that's when things escalate. That's what's going to cause the riot, is the cops escalating the situation, because you're on such power trips and you can't talk to lowly scum citizens who are just here to pay your paycheck. Now, finishing up, Derek, we've gotten to the point of the shotgun. There's a lot of videos online of this. Tell us what happened then and then where it went from that point.
All right. So I'm in the back of the cop car. Like I said, they started grabbing Micah. They slammed him on the back of the car. And the same cop, and as you can see in the video, the same cop that grabbed him initially is also the same cop that turned around and pulled up a shotgun. He pulls out the shotgun, cocks it in the air, and you can hear him yell to everybody, get back now. And I'm in the back of the cop car. I kind of lost it there. I started yelling at the cop, telling him, you know, you're accusing us of starting a riot. At every step of this process, they escalated the situation by grabbing me and taking me out into the street, by grabbing Micah, handcuffing him without a reason, telling him they were going to charge him with inciting a riot also. And then they told him they were going to charge him with resisting arrest. And, you know, he was never even resisting. He wasn't even part of it. And then pulling out the shotgun, every step of the way, they made things worse. And like you said, you can hear the cop tell Micah, your freedom ends tonight. So after that, I was arrested. Finally, when I made it to the police station, they told me that I would be charged with a Class C misdemeanor, failure to obey a lawful order from a police officer. But I was never told what that lawful order was. And so I just pled guilty to get out. I sat 15 hours and got out. And since then, we've started collecting videos and we sent out our press release a couple of days ago. And all the local media came and interviewed us. We were interviewed by every station here and most of the media outlets. A couple of them have kind of course, said that a local group of conspiracy theorists were attempting to fight with the police or clash with the police. And some people are saying that we even called the cops on ourselves to create this event. So they're doing their best to malign us and make our group sound crazy. But
well, they do that now. They're like, they want to get rid of the Federal Reserve. They're conspiracy theorists. Now, having a political view outside the establishment brainwashing is a conspiracy theory. I've seen it in the news where being groped, if you don't like being groped, you're a conspiracy theorist. So now, having an opinion, you're not allowed to have it I mean, it's just total mind control. And yes, I did see that in the newspaper. And they're like, well, the conspiracy theorists, you know, they deserve it. Good job. In fact, I saw some comments in one publication. People are like, he used a shotgun on that scum. They don't believe what they're told by the government. I mean, wow, folks, look what doing what the government has said has done to us. It's wrecked the country, and it's only going to get worse. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say that I actually just came back from meeting with HPD Internal Affairs this morning. So we put out before we even actually put out the videos and sent the press release, the morning we were going to do that, I was contacted by local media, and apparently somebody sent the video into HPD. So now they're being forced to make a statement on it, and apparently the HPD chief is investigating it.
All right, well, we'll watch it as it unfolds. Terrible. Americans meeting together.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
When you're out on the road, the last place you want to be is on the road. But if the unfortunate happens, you'll be glad you were wearing diamond gussets.
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They sew pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it, others don't.
We turn jeans inside out. Diamond gusset jeans, made in the USA with unparalleled quality. Our Defender motorcycle jeans combine gusset comfort with Kevlar protection, so you can ride all day with confidence. Order yours at gusset.com. Diamond gusset jeans got it, others don't.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Here's the deal. I'm going to go to your phone calls. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. Then I'm going to get into the latest on the drones spying on farmers and others. Huge developments as Al-Qaeda forces engage in mass murder all over Libya. The New York Times is bemoaning that. That is just some of what we're going to be covering coming up in this hour, interspersed with your phone calls. Also, Judge Andrew Napolitano, no relation to Janet Dungbeetle Napolitano, he has been fired from Fox Business, which I don't think is a big deal. Fox Business's top shows have 200,000 viewers, and those shows are Napolitano and Lou Dobbs. 200,000 viewers in an hour. Look up the ratings. Fox TV, their average show's got about 800,000. Average show on MSNBC, about 100,000. Some of the shows have 3 million viewers on Fox. Some of the shows have 900,000 on Mr. Maddow and others do. But it was just a waste of his time. There's all the prestige of, ooh, a fancy studio. And, ooh, I mean, he's a good host, but it's just all, he had more listeners on XM. He has, I don't know, probably 20 times the listeners when he comes on this radio show. But I don't put on big airs. Oh, Fox News. Oh. I mean, Fox News calls me to be a guest on there, and I don't even return the phone calls. Now, people are like, you don't go on Fox News. No, it's not even worth it to get in the car and drive to the satellite uplink. And I get calls from Japanese, Iranian TV, British TV now. I don't even get in the car. I don't even care. I just don't even have time for it. I can shoot a YouTube video on my iPhone in 5 minutes, upload it, and it'll have on average 100,000 views, more than these shows do. Oh, I go on a Fox show at night. Ooh, 1.5 million people see me. oh, somebody on the street says, I saw you on Fox. It's always some subject that doesn't matter anyways. And they're interrupting me the whole time. People accuse me of interrupting. I've actually done a study and tested it. On average, unless I'm moving quick, I let a guest talk for about 2 minutes before interrupting. I'm just not good at going, excuse me, hold on, I want to say something, you know, cutting in gently. I go, oh, I have a point I want to make. You know, it's the excitement. But that's why I have the most listeners, because it's unscripted, it's real. I do stutter and go, I have a point I want to make. That's the fact. This is teleprompter free. It's real. And people talk on average 2 minutes. Sometimes it's longer. You hear sometimes a guest talks for 10. I don't interrupt. It's when they start going off in other areas. No. It's about what I think's interesting. It's areas I want to go into. And you can't argue with success, but that's a little meme nitpick point is the Fox News or CNN. You're getting interrupted every 35 seconds. If you get 35 seconds to talk, it's shocking. But nobody's like, let them talk, because it's short attention span theater. You'll have the host. You'll have another guest on. Host will talk for a minute. You'll talk 30 seconds. Guest talks 30 seconds. Host talks 30 seconds. You talk 30 seconds. Other guest talks 30 seconds. Host talks a minute. They play a clip. They go to some other guest. Go to you for 30 seconds. Other guy 30 seconds. You're done. You've talked 2 minutes. You've spent 3 hours, 30 minutes driving in, sitting there for an hour while you wait. Somebody trying to put makeup on you. And then you start talking to them. That's why last time CNN wanted me on, and it was a taped interview, I knew they were going to take me for like an hour and try to edit it down. So I went in there and just told them I thought they were scum and trash, and I never wanted to be on their filthy channel ever again. And videotaped it and posted it on YouTube, them interviewing me. Because I don't need you, scum. And that's why you want to shut the free web down, because we're cleaning your stinking teleprompter reading clock, you little ninnies. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I'm going to go to your calls right now, briefly at the bottom of the hour. I will give you the news. We've talked to him today. He says he'll come on next week. He just got the word and said this is obviously a lot going on right now. Judge Andrew Napolitano, a great guy, a great legal mind, a patriot, a friend of liberty, a guy that's questioned the official story of 9/11 on this show. And George Soros sent letters. George Soros' group sent letters to Fox demanding he be fired, and I think that probably has something to do with it. He also had the number one show on Fox Business. It was tied, basically, with good guy, Lou Dobbs, and he has been axed from Fox Business, I guess for pointing out that people want liberty, and that was the top-rated show. 200,000 viewers or so. You're like, that's nothing. TV. I thought the whole world watches it. No. 200,000 is good on MSNBC. Fox Business has never really taken off. It's been a big industry problem for News Corp. And it's really sad that this has happened to Napolitano, but it's kind of much ado about nothing. I guess I'm already talking about it. I mean, 200,000 listeners, Judge, you're a talented guy. Do a syndicated radio show. I'll guarantee you, and I think Ted Anderson on talked to him about this, said people always spin their wheels with like big outfits. Well, big outfits already have their main host on all their stations. You come on Genesis, people are like, why would you want to bring competition onto your own network? It's not my network. I always try to bring people on air. I always try to build people up. I'm looking for other voices. I'm not about, I've got to be the king of everything. But I think Ted ought to offer him a job here. Genesis has over 1,000 affiliates. I've got over 100. 1,000 affiliates now between the gardening shows and the political shows and everything else. So people are looking for an alternative. A lot of stations are picking us up. But again, the glitz, the glamour, the fancy set, Oh my gosh, Fox News, 200,000 viewers on a good day. And of course, Ted never bragged about this, but it was Ted Anderson who actually got Judge Andrew Napolitano on the air. He was the big thing to push him onto the air. And obviously the judge will probably still be an analyst on Fox News, I hope. But you know, him having his own voice of liberty, covering the New World Order, really affecting change, that's not the direction Fox News wants. In fact, I'll just talk about it now, then go to your calls briefly here. It's on record, you can pull this up, it's come out in the news, that since Rupert Murdoch in the last year went under investigation for spying and hacking and paying off police in England, and don't just think it's England, the New York Post is well known for saying, you know, it came out years ago, give me money or I'm going to write bad stuff about you in the tabloids, or give us money, we'll write good stuff about you. Very bizarre. And that's Rupert Murdoch. So there's a lot of dirty stuff going on. And so, yeah, they've got Fast and Furious they can use against the Democrats. But the Democrats and the Brits and the Labor Party over there, they can use all the corruption on Murdoch. And so that's why the word has gone through Fox. And I've talked to multiple Fox insiders. And this has been in the news in the last year. It's also come out in the news. Don't bash Obama as much. Don't be so partisan. That's part of the deal was getting rid of Keith Olbermann. But you notice MSNBC isn't following the deal. The political establishment has said all this fighting is really getting Americans angry. We need to de-escalate all this and put everybody to sleep. But Rupert Murdoch's got a fine line to walk. He needs to co-opt libertarian conservatism that's the hottest thing in the world. He needs to be able to profit off that. He knows that's where the big audience is. And so how does he have enough of that to have the audience while at the same time being a big globalist continue the party? So Glenn Beck's gone for bashing George Soros. And I know that Soros has got his dossiers on Roger Ailes, Murdoch, and on Becky Poo. They've got investigative reporters, gumshoes, you name it, digging up stuff that make FBI files look tame. And so don't worry, the News Corp Mafia's got all its dossiers as well. And it got so dangerous, they had meetings. And Hillary Clinton was in the meetings, others. And part of this has come out again. You can search all this and pull it up. And they said, let's stop this. So part of that is throwing Judge Napolitano overboard. And that also sends a message to everybody else. Toe the line. That's why you've got Huckabee saying, Obama's a really good guy. I think he's a good Christian man who loves America. You got Bill O'Reilly saying, you don't talk bad about Obama. The system is circling the wagons, okay? And they've had some real fights with each other over the power, but they just like mafia will. But does the mafia come out and admit they're selling drugs to little kids? No, they'll fight over the turf to sell the drugs, but they aren't going to go tell the parents, hey, we're selling your kids drugs, you know, when they're 14, so when they're 18, they can be hookers for us. You keep the sheep in the dark. See, this whole corrupt system can't report on itself because then the whole thing will come down. So the very worst elements of corruption go to the top because no one can stand in its way. And then you get total tyranny, total collapse. And it's here. It's here. Except America has, it's more than 200 million guns now. Well, 400 million guns, 200 million gun owners conservatively. And it isn't going to be like Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia or Khmer Rouge Pol Pot. You guys are going to do all the same stuff and have drones and little robots and all this tech junk. But you're not. Once people get mad and just decide to come after you, they're not just going to wait at the farm. They're not going to just wait in their apartment. Once people start coming after you, not waiting in their den, all your pot bellies, all your mustaches, all your armor is not going to mean anything. And I don't want to have a war with people that work for the system. The system doesn't care about you. It's going to destroy you. I'd rather you wake up, choose sides, and be with the good military and good police that are awake and know what's going on. And some police departments, the majority are awake. On average, I hear about half the police are awake, from captains and commanders and police chiefs I talk to on and off the record. Sheriffs and others. But in some departments, they say it's about 90% are ready for war with the American people. That's like getting in the ring with Mike Tyson in his prime. I mean, that's like jumping in front of a truck. And I'm not here trying to intimidate you. You know what I'm telling you is true. I mean, you want me to really talk about stuff? You want me to tell you what people can do to you? Let's say you got all our guns. We could get all the guns we ever wanted with a baseball bat. The will to kill people, the will to go ape on somebody is where all the power's at. Tony Montana says it. There's only one thing in this world that gives orders. It's called guts. You understand that? And you keep pushing, and your little banker masters are going to sit offshore who are so full of chutzpah and bravado that they make 40-1 bets with people's private pension funds. You got a bunch of oily bankers who sit in palaces in Switzerland and places trying to march you up against the American people who you think are afraid of you. No, they're drugged out on fluoride and cheeseburgers and drunk and watching the Super Bowl. But you keep pushing, they're not going to be. You understand that? And then the gloves come off, just like the Redcoats thought they were going to win. You didn't win, did you? Because once the fight starts, it's all about the fight. Once the war starts, it's not about a football game anymore. Then it's about scores to settle. Then it's about killing. Then it's about blood. It's about death. That the nearest civilization burns off real fast. Because the truth is, Americans are the most violent, vicious mixture of people the world's ever seen. Americans like to kill. That's why the New World Order came here and took over. They knew this was the place to get. And you think you're going to turn this war machine against the American people? Think again. We're natural-born killers. We're gut-stomping, gun-shooting, fast-car-driving, macho killers. And you think just because you're a bunch of macho American killers that you're going to come in against the American people and not get your you-know-what handed to you, New World Order? Okay, excuse me. I don't want this to happen. Let's go to your calls. I'm going to shut up now. We're going to break it. I'm just going to the calls. John in West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't want to sound petty, but I'm concerned about the nightly news show. I really think that everybody should dress formally. I've seen that Aaron Dykes a lot doesn't wear a tie, and sometimes people are on the show, like yourself, look like you just came up in from boating at Lake Travis or something. And what you have to say is like very important. I think you should dress formally.
I agree with you that presentation is everything. And then I should try to build like a Fox studio just because people will fall down and worship it. I mean, we actually have the audience, and I do wear a sports jacket some. I've lost so much weight. I've got to go buy new clothes. I hate going and buying clothes. I don't like buying things, but I need to, I guess I could ask Aaron to start wearing a tie. I agree with you. They're neat. I mean, you know, I'm so lax around here. I tell the guys when they do the news, hey, you know, button your shirt up more. And it's like, whoa, you're telling me what to do. But yeah, I mean, people don't know that in TV news and stuff, they're telling them what type of tie to wear, the chicks, what type of lipstick. You know, they tell them that look like you're sexually aroused looking at the camera. I mean, yeah, no, that's all they do. Yeah, we got guys that work in TV who work here now. I mean, the whole thing is, now look at the camera like you want to, you know, like you're about to kiss it. And it's all about the chicks looking at the camera like they're in love with you. And men sit there, I watch them, actually looking at the chick like, oh, she loves me. She, like, you know, there's about to be that embrace. It's all manipulation. So we're teleprompter free, but I agree with you. I should go out and buy a bunch of nice sports jackets and suits. And I guess I'm getting skinny enough to wear a tie. I mean, I got a big neck. It's like 19 inches around, even when I've lost weight. So that's another issue. When I wear it, it looks like a football player's neck. So it's all like, with the tie. But you're right. Anything else you want to add there, John?
Just that Aaron Dykes needs a new jacket.
Yeah, that last caller, I've heard of being dressed down, but he was dressing us up on air. No, I agree with you. I mean, millions of people every week end up watching the news show that subscribers see first, and we probably should actually wear ties and stuff in there. We've just been beta testing it. I mean, a lot of nights the show is 2 hours long. I'll assure you we're not boating on Lake Travis in between doing this radio show and the nightly news. It takes us all day to prepare for that. A lot of nights we're up here till 10 o'clock. We put a lot of energy into it, and it's the information. You know, people say I shouldn't be self-deprecating in some of the comedy videos I do every 3 or 4 months. You know, we have some fun here, too. This is about our creative expression as well. So I think one reason we are so popular is we are teleprompter-free, and sometimes I'm not wearing a suit and tie, and it's not that same stuffy media system. So I started thinking during the break, maybe he's wrong. Maybe that caller's wrong. Maybe we shouldn't wear nice sports jackets or ties. Maybe we should do the news naked. Or maybe we should do it in a big Easter Bunny outfit. Okay, I'm joking. A Keebler elf outfit. I'm going to stop right there. Who knows? It's about the information. But I agree. The magnitude of this info is so important and is so key to everything. Because the general public does take it even more serious if you're an authoritative outfit. People love crowns. That's why queens wear them and kings. People love uniforms. That's why the police wear them. People just see that as, ooh, you're part of a gang. Your subconscious mind sees a uniform as that you're part of a larger group.
Maybe we should dress up like George Washington.
We could dress up like George Washington. I mean, Native Americans, when they went on the warpath, they dressed up in certain regalia. I think a lot of the dressing up, too, is about getting yourself in a mindset. Of course, I don't even really put makeup on. I don't even worry too much about the lighting. You know what? You're right. We need to worry more about the overall packaging. It's just that then I can get so caught up in that that I don't even worry about the information. So we're kind of on the other extreme. Maybe I should ask listeners. We could have a poll on InfoWars. Do the news in the nude, that's a joke, folks, for the New York Times runs an article saying, I mean, that's for real. Do the news in a porcupine outfit, a Santa Claus outfit, a police officer outfit, and if we get a female reporter, she can wear a nurse's outfit. she's nursing the Constitution back to, from its deathbed. Or I can wear a Fox News outfit, you know, the pinstripe suit and the blue and red rep tie, and I can act all authoritative and read off a teleprompter. I'm Alex Jones reporting for InfoWars Nightly News and just authoritatively tell you what is. The government's good. Torture's good. Checkpoints on highways are good. Giant banker bailouts are good. The president is good. World government is good. But if you don't like it, it doesn't exist, and you're an extremist. And then, you know, the men all act really confident and authoritative, so all the guys watching it feel like they're authoritative because they watch it. They all kind of smile back at the guy who's like, I'm Brit Hume. I'm really confident. You know, there's the producer. Look confident. Good. Do a satisfied smile. Well, you know, while the guest is talking, if they say something that the Fox person doesn't like, they'll kind of go, But if they like it, they're like, which is a satisfied look of a total chump fake for a fake nation watching it. I mean, I could actually, like, one night a week do it as establishment news. I thought for satire, one night a week I could do it like I was a neocon, and then or maybe once a month, and then one night a week as a fake liberal who's really a fascistic killer selling total evil. I could do it like a CNN host, like a CIA guy, like what's that twit's name, that Aster Ayres name? Anderson Cooper. I mean, I could sit there and of course, have a little announcement of this is only a dramatization of globalist brainwashing. The information here has been twisted and spun to manipulate you and to sell you on the New World Order paradigm. And then go into the whole news tonight. Tonight, the terror threat. America is on the edge. Checkpoints are being set up everywhere. Only by having extremely well-trained, patriotic professionals do the light pat-down and then just show them grabbing somebody. And it's light. It's reasonable. And then cut to news articles where they're talking about actual chest x-rays to fly. By the way, we're going to break, and I will go to the calls when we come back. The Denver Post, this is not a joke, is reporting that when they don't have women TSA agents now, women aren't allowed to fly. Because as I told you, it's not a grope down when you refuse the body scan. I've been seeing them do it to everybody. Now it's body scan for everybody at most airports and grope down. And so they said, well, a man can't grope you and so you can't fly. This is actually in the Denver Post. They admit it, but it gets worse. Why is it okay to have someone of the same sex molest you?
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes.
We've got Lennon LaRouge coming up.
I'll keep my family
safe. Oh, there's the guy that got fired from the NFL Monday Night Football for criticizing Obama. Because in America, you don't do that. You get punished for free speech because we don't have that here in America. And now Judge Napolitano, he, for having the number one show on Fox Business, he's been fired or lost his show. I don't know if he's still going to be. I was just talking to him via text. I don't know if he's still going to be a correspondent on there, but what's the point of that? I guess money, and I guess he does give some good commentary. But this is the system circling the wagons. That's why they want to control the resources. That's why they want you poor. So you can only have free speech if you work for them and say what they want, and it's not really free speech. Speaking of Max Kaiser, he's on with us next week. Financial Holocaust looms as Germany storms Greece, and they've announced what we told you they do. They're announcing total control over the whole country. That's just some of the news I'm going to be getting into. And again, Steve Watson has the article, Fox News Axes Freedom Watch. Was Judge Andrew Napolitano cutting too close to the bone for the establishment? That is the question. And if you go over to Infowars.com, you can see some of our other top stories there. But let's hurry through your calls right now. Let's go to John in Texas. John, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm the first John, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good to talk to you, Alex, again. God, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. I don't know where to begin. First of all, let me say this real quick. I mentioned to you the first time I talked to you, the only time we talked on the phone, that you reminded me of Aristotle's Book 3, Chapter 7. You also remind me of Edgar Cayce, something that I know you will appreciate like I did when I read it. He said that destiny or karma depends upon what the soul has done about what it became, about what it has become aware of. And when I found the knowledge I found 21 years ago, I've been on a mission just like you have ever since to help wake people up. The first conspiracy I was exposed to was a medical conspiracy. I'm a wellness consultant now. I've been doing this for 21 years now in Houston. I coached Rudy Tomjanovich back in 2003 when he had bladder cancer. And I met you when you came into Houston. You may remember me.
Oh, yeah, you're the fellow that does the sports medicine for athletes.
That's right, and I had the dog. And but anyway, when I called you initially, I was telling you about how you could bump up your spidey sense, and that's really what, that's the piece of the puzzle I found a long time ago. I found out that we're doing something that destroys our spidey sense. And I've been on a mission ever since then. I've actually done what no person has ever done in the history of mankind, as far as I know. I've been looking for every piece of the puzzle and figure out how it relates to everything. And I've actually created a six-box system that has 18 portals and 203 pieces. And now I've created like a schematic that shows where every piece of the puzzle fits. And what I find really interesting, because I've been studying everybody who thinks they found the solution to our problems for the last 21 years, and what I found is very few people really have found the two most important pieces of the puzzle. And that a lot of people have found the third most important piece of the puzzle, and that's the piece that you have found, Alex. In fact, you probably know the third piece of the puzzle better than almost everyone else. And the third piece of the puzzle, of course, is the globalist. It's the number one source for piece number two, and that's false knowledge. And as long as we have false knowledge, we cannot learn what we need to learn, the truth.
And people don't have open minds, so once they have the false knowledge, they just stick to that, even when you can prove that it's wrong. And as for ESP, Sixth Sense, Women's Intuition, whatever you want to call it, here's Discover Magazine, headline, Could ESP Be Real? And there's just all these studies coming out scientifically proving ESP.
Exactly. And you made a comment at one time that really perked my ears up, because you said that everybody has their spidey sense, but they got to focus on it. Well, that's only because their spidey sense is too low. It's a lot like having poor vision, and you got to squint your eyes to see. You're not supposed to have to squint your eyes to see any more than you have to focus on your spidey sense. It should be an automatic if your spidey sense was at the adequate level. But we're doing something that destroys our spidey sense, and there's a natural way of bumping it up, and that's my mission in life, is to help people bump up their spidey sense. And I know you've made some changes lately, and you saw some great results. But if you would have done what I teach people to do to bump up their spidey sense, you would have seen the same type of results within 1 month instead of 2 months, but your spidey sense would have increased by a factor of 5 or 6. And if you want to wake everyone else up, Alex, you've got to get them to bump up their spidey sense. That's piece number one.
Well, I mean, I call that just waking up, becoming aware. People become more aware when they pray, when they eat healthier. There's a lot of when you get out in nature, get away from all the hustle and bustle. The globalists throw so much stuff at us so that we just basically stay unconscious. And it's complex, but it's also simple. You ought to do a YouTube video about this, or you ought to mail me your schematic, or you should talk about it and present it. Because even if people don't totally agree with it out there, it's good to just think about how the world works and think in systems that are outside the box. Because this New World Order system is such a tiny, limited spectrum of what's going on. God bless you. I appreciate your call. Send us the information. It was good meeting you down at the Fed rally earlier last year. You can write to me at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas 78760. And I try to go over all the mail. Everybody reads everything that comes in here. I don't get a chance to read everything, but everything does get read and looked at. And we appreciate all the mail that comes in. Email's another story. I mean, we try. If something's super important, send it repeatedly. But then everybody's sending stuff repeatedly, and it kind of becomes a problem. It's crazy. I could have like 5 people on top of the folks that are looking at the email, trying to go through all of the information. I've had famous musicians, movie stars, when they finally get a hold of us, say, I've been emailing you for 2 years. I had my manager try to get in touch with you for 6 months. You were hard to get a hold of. And I just can't think of how many lost opportunities of interesting people and folks we could have had on. And it's not that I don't care about celebrity. It's just that I'm so into my own research and what I'm doing that I don't even really realize the power of celebrity consciously. I mean, I realize it, but I don't even try to follow those leads now or even try to get all the famous people on the show. Every week I get contacted by some famous person or I'm given their phone number, and I don't even tend to call them, because then you got to call them and play phone tag, and then you get them on and they tell you you're great. You tell them they're great. And a lot of times they just want you to know that they appreciate what you're doing. Hey, I love everybody, so there's really no need to even contact me. I mean, you know, I got it. I mean, I'm just, but the point about celebrities, whether they're famous writers or movie stars or sports people, is it does give you an idea how many people are awake. I mean, if I was contacted by Kurt Vonnegut and he sent me some artwork he did and said, for you, Alex, and then just said, well, I don't want to come on the show, but I want you to know I appreciate what you're doing. I mean, I read a lot of Kurt Vonnegut books. That's a great mind. Parents are big fans of him. That's really cool. But then he's like, no, I'm too old. I'm done. I'm giving one more speech and I'll never speak again. And he gave a speech at his university and 6 months later fell, hit his head and died. And I didn't pressure. I didn't try. Oh, please, come on, Kurt Vonnegut. Please, you know, come on. You know, since I moved, that isn't even out of the box, my Kurt Vonnegut lithograph of a birdcage open with the birds flown away. Symbol of freedom. It's actually was used in the French Revolution as a symbol of freedom. But it means I'm not in the box. It means I'm not caged. And I'm not bragging about the Kurt Vonnegut thing. It's just that, that guys, if you Google Alex Jones, Kurt Vonnegut art, it's a Prison Planet article. It was also posted on Jones Report. You can see a scan of the lithograph. And if you don't know who Kurt Vonnegut is, he wrote a lot of great satire on the police state and on corruption and on governments and on elites, and wrote a lot of dystopic science fiction stuff. Very, very interesting person. Yeah, here it is. We'll put it up. Yeah, there it is. For Alex. And it's Kurt Vonnegut drew a picture of himself and then signed his signature, making the eye in his hair. And then there is the one-of-a-kind lithograph. Very cool. Vonnegut was no stranger to the methods of dictators. He fought in World War II, was a prisoner of war, and then bombed. That's what Slaughterhouse Five's about. Side issue. I said I'd take calls, and I'm, well, you know, I'm digressing. Linda in Texas. Linda, welcome, and thank you for holding.
Thank you, Alex. For years, you've been speaking out against fluoride. So about 3 years ago, some of us in Austin, your hometown, started Fluoride Free Austin. And we have battled and battled and battled city council. The bigger the cities, the harder they fall. But we want to encourage people. In little towns, Lago Vista has banned fluoride.
Calgary's done it. That big county that that Tampa's in, a million people, they've removed it. Because the feds are striking back at the state level. As you know, Arkansas and now also New Jersey have passed laws saying you will drink fluoride by law. So before, they would just lobby and get cities to buy it and put it in the water, for those that don't know, and the hundreds of other chemicals that are in it. I think it's time to start suing the smiley face mayor and other smiley faces that laugh at the medical doctors and toxicologists and top professors you've brought in to Austin. I mean, they're assaulting us, and it'll come out in the court hearing that there's all these other heavy metals and stuff in the toxic waste they call fluoride, and then that'll force it all out. I mean, look, that's not even aggressive enough. They're assaulting us and force medicating us, and every time the scumbag city council laughs at you, it makes me want to throw up. I've seen it on the local cable, and it's disgusting. They are just pigs.
Is that cities all over the United States, this weekend your listeners can go do a little research. Go to Dr. Paul Conant's website, Fluoride Action Network. Go to Fluoride Free Austin. Go to Fluoride Free Fairbanks. They just got rid of their fluoride. And do a little research. And then all the listeners, go to your city council, call your city council, call your water utility office, and ask them, do you put fluoride in our water? Because this is about freedom from being force-medicated.
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. I cover fluoride every week. You know, all I can say is, if I went to the city council while they were in recess and walked up to the mayor or other city council people and put a teaspoon or even a thimble full, a couple grams of what they put in the water supply in their coffee, tea, water, whatever it was, I would be arrested and indicted for poisoning them with an intent to kill, with a deadly poison. It is listed as one of the most deadly poisons, and it gets worse. It's not just sodium fluoride. That a few grams of pure sodium fluoride will kill an adult human. It will kill you. That's why they say on the toothpaste, don't swallow this. I mean, it's a joke. But on average, it's over 200 chemicals. As you can look at the reports, even from the EPA. Some of them have as many as 350-plus chemicals. Lead, mercury, arsenic. But because they call it a medical additive and we contract to buy it, it's suddenly legal? No, it's not. I saw an article today where the House passes a bill making it illegal to insider trade. In the Congress, it's already illegal. I've read the laws. They're not exempt. When they got caught, they came out and said, we're exempt. And the new law they're trying to pass actually opens it up to where they can do a lot of different types of insider trading. See, when they get caught torturing, they say, oh, we're allowed to torture. No, it's not. It's illegal. So they try to pass a law saying, well, now we can torture. But they sold the bill as anti-torture bill that actually allows torture. They get caught spying on you without warrants. It's illegal. Oh, we're going to pass a bill stopping this. The bill actually lets them do it. These are criminals, and they are putting poison in your water. And again, hypothetically, if you or I or anybody else tried to make the mayor of wherever you live drink the fluoride they're making us drink, we'd go to jail. And we don't need to make it illegal. There's no law. The city, going back to the late 40s when they had all this extra toxic waste from nuclear weapons production, aluminum production, and sulfur mining, the fertilizer mining industry, they cannot put that on the crops because it kills them. So whatever they have left at the uranium mines, because same place they get the fertilizer stuff out of the limestone, they put it in your water. I mean, who can make this up? And scientists go before the Austin Council, and they sit up there like the giant bags of treasonous maggots that they are and laugh at people. Because again, if one card gets pulled out of the house of cards, it all comes down. If they did admit, yeah, this is crazy, we pay $1 million+ a year, we've got the city contracts, to put this in the water in my town and your town, and the hoax would just come down. The giant hoax would just come down. I remember about 15 years ago, I remember reading this and I didn't believe it. And then I went and found the Pulitzer Prize winning book. And I went and I dug it up and found it was true that the Soviets, by the 20s, were putting fluoride in the water at the camps to make people docile. And then the Nazis did it. I mean, they really did it. And at Nuremberg, they learned about that and thought, this is great for our population. Did you know the 1968 Gun Control Act? Senator Dodd at the time, not the current Dodd, the previous Dodd, you can look this up, took the Nazi Gun Control Act, it's actually Weimar Republic, the Nazis expanded it, and just changed a few words and passed that. That's how lazy these crooks are. And these crooks sit up there in these city councils and laugh at you like assaulting you is funny. And I think people should walk in with toothpaste in their hand and read off the back to the mayor in your town and say, it says it's poison right here. Here's what this toxicologist says. Increases bone cancer 7 times. Here's BBC News. Here's Associated Press. You know, mayor, if I tried to put some of this fluoride in your coffee, I could be arrested for trying to poison you. But you're poisoning us. Stop assaulting me. Stop attacking me. Just because you're wearing a suit and are on a raised dais, we could put a giant wheelbarrow of horse manure up on the dais. Does that mean it has an excuse to smile at me and laugh at me? John, Jackie, others, you're up next. Paul Watson's got a big article at Infowars.com that I said I was going to read part of on air. And I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'll bring it up with Lynn LaRouge, who's coming up at the 8 after. So, guys, let Lynn LaRouge know. I'm going to get him on at the 8 after, at the 5 after break. But this article deals with the total and complete militarization of America and the fact that the government is openly announcing that it is going to engage in warfare against the American people. The headline is, the state has declared war on the American people. Please get it out to everyone you know. Here's another one. Leftist media resorts to conspiracy theories to sell Syria invasion. Just like they said Saddam threw babies out of incubators, it wasn't true. They're saying the same thing about the Syrian government. And I'm not saying Assad's a good guy, but it's clear war propaganda. Also, mortgage settlement is just another stealth bank bailout. It's all up there right now at Infowars.com. Now, I want to read this quote. I mentioned it in the first hour, dealing with the fact that it's traitors within that are dangerous. It's foreign interest, foreign corporations, and others that come in and infiltrate and take over your government that are the threat. And Roman senator and statesman and historian and philosopher Marcus Cicero said, "The traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears the face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague." And that's not the full quote. He talks about in the beginning of the quote that an enemy at your gate with a banner openly furled is not the enemy. It's those within who sneak around and creep around and manipulate. They are the threat. They are the problem. The tickets are now more than half sold at both venues in Dallas coming up, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 19th. I'm going to speak and premiere a powerful 30-minute mini-documentary that's going to be impressive. And I'll give an hour and a half speech, 30-minute question and answer. So it'll be about a 2.5-3-hour event. That Sunday evening, the next Sunday evening, I'm going to be in Orlando. And those tickets are going quick. Infowars.com/events. And undoubtedly, they're going to sell out. So if you want to get the tickets, I want to see you there. Come on out. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to go ahead and bring merchandise, too. I'll be there signing books and videos and stuff like that. I wasn't going to bring it, but folks have been requesting that. So I'll also come out before and after and shake hands and stuff. And I'm going to be doing my radio show, at least from the event in Florida. I'm not sure about Dallas yet. We're still tweaking all of that. But Infowars.com/events. And then, of course, also we're running a 15-day free trial to get the nightly news and all of my films and everything else at PrisonPlanet.tv. You also get to watch the three-hour radio show with all the videos and documents here, a whole other level of information when you're a PrisonPlanet.tv member, and your membership supports us. I want to thank all the members. I want to thank all of you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. We also, of course, have a special running that's going to end at the end of the month. Not only do we have the everything special, all 18 of my films for 70%+ off, and a citizen rule book and bumper stickers for $99.95, normally $360. We're now adding Jason Burmes' film I produced that's amazing, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, free on top of it. So that comes out to like 75% or more off. So that's 19 films, DVDs, citizen rule book, and all the bumper stickers and the rest of it for $99.95, and I haven't even announced that special until now. And your purchase of the DVD supports our transmission. But then you got 19 films to give people and wake them up.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we've got Lyndon LaRouche joining us. We'll have open phones with him as well. who's been holding the longest? John and then Jackie, at least. I got to get to you now. You're a trooper, John. Thank you, and God bless you. You're on the air from Illinois. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, first of all, I want to say thank you. And, you know, going with that caller from Virginia, your content, you know, the message that you're sending out there is so important and so strong. It doesn't matter how you're dressing. So that's number one. Then I have two ideas for you and one plug for Liberty, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
Okay. First idea is, you know how you're looking for a catch-all first, like prostitutes for your media thing?
Yeah, I think Dung Beetle Media, Sewer Stream Media, Traitor Media. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a combination of two words. It's real simple. The first word is enemy. The second word is media. Enemedia.
Enemedia. Yeah. Enemy media. Just enemy media.
Yeah, any media. Yeah, that's it.
Any media, yeah.
Yeah, like enemy and media, any media.
I think it's okay. Good. I like it.
All right. And the second idea I have for you is that maybe we could have a money bomb for a We the People law firm and get somebody like one of your guests. I think his name was Edward Griffin before, the sheriff that's a lawyer. And kind of like get our own little constitutional law firm going to help out with the cases that are out there.
I hear you. You know, there are a lot of great constitutional law firms out there. It's just actually defending lawsuits or getting into them. I mean, you know, it can be $100,000 or more per suit. I mean, I know that constitutional lawyer is Stuart Rhodes, and he's suing Pittsburgh for Rob Due. I mean, I defended Rob Due in court. I think it's about $5,000 to get him to drop the case against him. It was about $5,000 I paid out, so I defend my guys when they get arrested. Even though I told them get out of there that night. They're like, well, we're on a hill videotaping them beating people. We're 300 yards away. And I said, they're going to arrest you. But I'm not doing anything. I'm up on a hill videotaping. I'm media. They're going to arrest you. Only one that listened was Burmis. I was like, get out of there, Burmis. Burmis like, yes, I agree. They just beat some girl in the head with a billy club. Burmis got out of there. Dude got arrested. Great ideas, my friend. Thank you for that information, John. Jackie and Mash, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a newly awakened individual, and personally, I'd like to go back to bed and pull the covers up because it's scary out here. But anyways, I was wondering, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to prepare for, what's going to be the depth of it, or how long. So I was wondering if you could give me some ideas as to what I should, you know, what I should do to prepare. And then I just had a comment about also, why hasn't anybody tried to bring up charges of treason against President Obama for all the list of things that he's done? I mean, every other president, I think Bush sneezed and they wanted to put him up on treason charges and so on, or impeachment charges, I mean. So why hasn't anybody tried to do that, impeach Obama for all the things that he's done?
You know, that's a great question. And the answer is the establishment likes what he's doing. The establishment owns the Republican and Democratic parties at the top, and they're demonizing good people like Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders, who's an independent. You know, anybody who's independent, they go after. I mean, I've read the case. Lyndon LaRouche, you know, famous statesman, researcher, they set him up and put him in prison on trumped up, you know, garbage. This is what they do, whether you're left, right, libertarian, American system, whatever it is. All of this stuff is going on. Now, Chris Hedges is the Pulitzer Prize winner. He is suing Obama over NDAA. But as for your very important question, how will the crises look? There's different permutations of it, but we're in a global meltdown. And the reason all the economies are going down is because of the fiat currency derivative system. And so what will the ruling elite do to try to divert people away from what they've done? They'll start wars. Okay, so I'm going to answer that question with Lyndon LaRouche on the other side. We'll continue with your calls as well with our guests. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we We have a man joining us for the balance of the hour. We'll get to your calls coming up after the half hour. Even though they're for us earlier, he can speak on all these issues. Who doesn't need any introduction? Lyndon LaRouge, obviously everybody knows who he is. If you don't know who he is, you must have been hiding under a rock. He is very accurately, from my own separate research, I mean, I don't just believe what he says, broken down how this global elite is functioning, what their goals are, eugenics, world population reduction, post-industrial world. They want to shut down development as part of a global corporate takeover to consolidate power. And they see anyone being informed or independent as a threat to them. They use poverty just as ancient feudal lords used poverty to control their populations. You know, handbooks were written on this in Europe. They were written on it in England. The Japanese had a similar system to it during their feudal periods. This is a system of control. And now they're announcing $63 billion to militarize the airspace in the next 5 years with 30,000 drones. That's Associated Press. Weaponized drones, spy drones, watching farmers. Same plan. It's a unified global agenda. Look at Europe, BBC. Spying on Europe's farmers with satellites and drones, BBC. So there's a method of the madness. Lyndon LaRouge has accurately, 20 years ago or more, predicted how the meltdown would happen, what the derivatives would do, that they would precipitate big big wars out of that. But the issue is the Anglo-American establishment that Carol Quigley and others that work for him, you know, basically concurs with Lyndon LaRouge's analysis. They believe they're going to navigate the controlled crisis and that they're going to use the implosion to pose as saviors, take over Europe, have the nation states sign over all their rights to the bankers, just like they do in third world countries. And they're planning it here. They're now admitting they want to secretly arrest citizens with NDAA, that they want to censor the web. They're firing people like Andrew Napolitano at Fox so he can't talk about the New World Order. All of this is happening. So we can see the globalists are moving with proxy wars all over the Middle East, with Iran. Lyndon LaRouche, it's all, it looks like, coming to a head. And so I want to understand the method to their madness. I want your breakdown on, are things going well for them? And what do you predict is going to happen next, sir?
Well, what we're faced with is an intention, and it's complicated in one sense. The upfront danger is the likelihood that in this early period, now, it could be weeks, it could be almost any time, there are factors that determine whether this happens or not and what time it occurs in. But generally, I would say the trend right now is it's going to happen. Now, you know that the U.S. Navy has in its submarine fleet enough capability in thermonuclear weaponry to, in a single throw, destroy most of this planet. The whole idea of nuclear warfare is now it's almost a joke relative to what the potential has become now. Now, this is being steered from London and also from Wall Street. They're pretty much the same thing. They represent the same mentality. You see what they've done to our economy already. We have a period right now going into the middle of the spring and summer that if we don't get a new planting of the type we need, some people are going to start dying from hunger. It's that bad. You look at whole categories of things we use to manufacture as a leading part of the world's nations. We don't produce it anymore. What we have is a gigantic population of Wall Street types who's nothing but parasites. They don't produce anything. They produce promissory notes that can never be redeemed. But this system is now coming to an end. That is the economic system in its present form. And unless we make certain changes which are consistent actually with the intention of the formation of this United States Constitution, unless we go to that kind of direction, this world is not going to be a very pleasant place to live in very soon. Now, the particular danger is this. The center of the problem lies in London. It lies in the British Empire. Now, some people think that the British Empire represents the people of England, or Scotland and Wales and so forth. It is not. The British Empire is actually based on a monetary system. That is, the basic power of the British Empire is monetarist. For example, all of Africa is controlled by the British. They control it by administration. They control it by mechanisms, such as financial mechanisms and things like that. That's easy to see. But what we're headed for, the big number, is we've seen that since the killing of Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. Now, I say, why did they kill him? Here's this guy. They defeated him. He's running away. He's leaving the country. He's no problem to them anymore. Why should they kill him? Well, what they did is they got him in a kind of a ravine-like situation. They shot him down. He was wounded. Then they came up to him, and they killed him. So, in other words, here's a man who has been taken prisoner, a former leader of a nation. He's wounded. He's helpless. He's in their hands. And they execute him. Now, the orders for this came from the trio of London, France, and the United States, that of President Obama. They killed him. Then the explanation came out of France that the reason this has happened was the powers that be did not wish to have Obama alive, or rather, Gaddafi alive, because they argued that if he were alive, they'd have to put him on trial. And if they put him on trial, that would interfere with their program. They intended to go directly from the killing of Gaddafi into starting the war with Israel launched against Iran and against Syria. Now, these were not the real targets. These were targets, very real targets.
And by the way, sir, as you know, Hillary made a joke about, we came, we saw, he died, basically imitating what Julius Caesar said, and she laughed about it. So not only are they engaged in barbarous war crimes, now they're making jokes about it. And to make it worse, she's not even a military person, which just adds to the obscenity. It's bad enough to be a warrior and brag about killing somebody, but to be a sack of sycophantic globalist filth, it's amazing.
Well, no, she take her case and look at it, what actually happened. She had a policy of being a restraining influence against Obama, and she did a fairly good job. But then they came down on her. Now, you have to understand that the people around Obama threatened assassinations and similar kinds of things. She was terrified. And you will notice that since that terrifying of her, which is on the record, she changed her personality. That doesn't mean she changed herself in her character. It means she's now submitted to the monster.
Let me stop you. It's always so complex when you get on because it's so well documented. There's a lot between the lines. You had a Freudian slip almost twice and kept saying Obama assassinated. And it's funny you mentioned that because I was going to raise that later but didn't know if I should because I was rereading what the big Jewish Atlanta newspaper editor said. He said, I've met with the Mossad people. You know, they are looking at killing Obama. I'm serious about this. That they better attack Iran. That was pretty much an open threat. And that's the word I'm getting is that they could use an assassination of Obama as some type of false flag to launch a wider war and blame it on the Iranians.
Well, this is all part of the pattern. But I look at this thing from, I look at it from the end game. What's the end game here? Not what are the details, the things that come up on the side. What we're headed with is something very soon. It's coming out of London, but the United States plays a key role in it. The United States has the greatest thermonuclear power for weaponry on this planet. A lot of it is concentrated in the Pacific Ocean, in our submarines. We can virtually obliterate much of this planet with one shot, that is one barrage, properly aimed. Now, that's the threat that we're facing. The timing of that threat comes before the next election inside the United States. If this was intended earlier, but it was postponed. We had people in our Joint Chiefs of Staff who said, you can't do this. You have other people saying, you cannot even think about this. Because if you're thinking about a war with the parties that you're indicating, which include the British Empire and the United States under Obama working for the British Empire on this policy, you realize that you have the greatest threat to humanity imaginable. Now, whether the British do it or not, by controlling Obama, who controls the submarine fleet ultimately is commander-in-chief of the U.S. forces. Whether they do that or not is uncertain. My view is the British have two intentions. Obama's doing what he's doing. He's not really very intelligent. He's a sick man. But he's doing it for this British monarchy, who have a whole policy of reducing the human population from 7 billion people to 1 billion people in a very rapid order. And that's where the evil is coming from. Now, the British, of course, are now, in their policy, are threatening to compel U.S. forces to be used to obliterate the targeted nations they intend to obliterate. And we have in our naval capability, the submarine capability, a typification of what our capability is to do that. Without us, without the United States and its forces being complicit with the British couldn't do it, even though they're the inspiration of the policy. So our situation is we've had our military and other people in other parts of the world recognize what this problem is and know we've got to stop the British attack. We know the only efficient way to stop this, and it could stop it, is to get Obama out of office. Now, he's not only impeachable because he's violated most of our Constitution. He could take a track, but the key thing here is that he is clinically insane. This man, I know I did back in April of 2009.
Mr. LaRouche, I apologize for interrupting you. Let's come right back on the other side and continue looking at this, because he's not mincing words here, and he's not hyping it. So many mainline analysts say this could lead to World War III. The Russians are sending Spetsnaz. The Iranians are sending special forces into Syria. All right, Lyndon LaRouche is our guest. We'll give you his websites here in a moment. They're very important to visit. A lot of great information. This is a short little 5-6 minute segment, long segment coming up. We'll get to some of your calls then. But we had a lady who was on hold that I talked to before you came on with us, sir. And she was saying, well, what's the crisis? What should I prepare for? What could happen? You were getting into Obama being an insane puppet, and I want you to finish with that. But, I mean, what are the different scenarios that we could see unfold? The buildup to war with Iran, the Iranian and Russian troops going into Syria, Hillary beating the drums for war, Obama. This whole thing is escalating. And then we hear people saying, well, Obama is not wanting enough war. He's liberal. That sounds like a bunch of left cover garbage. I mean, he's doing everything the big corporations want him to do.
Of course. But I think I should be very careful now, because even while the facts I will state are all true, I've got to think about your listeners, for example, that I don't absolutely terrorize them. I tell them exactly what the situation is. First of all, the British are running this operation, the British Empire. The British Empire is not a kingdom. It's an international financial power, which includes Wall Street, for example, their own country. And that's the power you're up against. They want to maintain the imperial tradition of Rome, which is what the British Empire's tradition is, adopted later. Now, therefore, you have to understand the way the British think. And very few Americans understand how the British think. They hear how they talk. They don't understand what's behind that talk, at least on the high level. There are two options we face right now. Apart from the obvious option we desire, is Obama should be thrown out of office now before he gets anywhere near an election. He can be thrown out for a number of reasons, for violations of the Constitution, and he can also be thrown out as an insane person, for which he's qualified. This man is actually a man of that type. He, under the Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, this man is qualified to be suspended from the office of the president. All that would be required is the vice president of the United States would utter such a finding, present it to members of the cabinet, and if they agreed, then the president would have to step back while the matter was being challenged. That would be the best solution, or if he simply would resign. For some reason,
Robert. All right, I want to stop you briefly. Why is it so important for him, the figurehead, to be brought down, A? But B, I agree with you. I've seen a lot of stuff that shows he's more than just a narcissist. He says there's 57 states. He bizarrely does full bows to anybody who's royal. He's saying more and more weird stuff. I mean, what's your intel? So I know you have an incredible intelligence network. I mean, are you hearing he's actually completely nuts? And what is the form of psychosis?
Well, he is actually the same thing as the Emperor Nero. He has in history an identity and a profile which I presented in April of 2009, warning about what this guy was going to do. He is actually somebody picked a guy whose mental state was that of the same as the Emperor Nero, and who, you know, in the end killed himself when he was losing the case at that point. But in this case, what's happening is the British are in control of this thing, and Obama's nothing but a British puppet. He's also insane. And his significance is that as president of the United States, with his insanity and the power he's using with the direction of the British, he could cause World War III, thermonuclear World War III. So if we don't remove him from power as it stands now, here we got two options. You have to think of what's the British option. The British option is if they can't win it any other way, they are now prepared to order through the President of the United States the launching as of our submarine fleet in the Pacific to launch the greatest capability in thermonuclear warfare that exists on this planet. Without the United States under control of the British, under Obama's control, that could not happen. Therefore, we have to get Obama out, because the most likely way to save this nation, if we continue to tolerate Obama, if he's continued to be president, they're not going to wait for the next election of the United States. The danger comes now. We don't know the exact date, but we're approaching that point. Now, two things are, the British have two objectives. Now, the British know what, command knows exactly what they're doing when they're prompting the United States to unleash forces such as the submarine thermonuclear capability in the Pacific and also in the Atlantic. They know what they're doing. They are obviously not anticipating a pleasant trip with that. They would prefer to use the threat, as Hitler did in Germany to the Germans, to use the threat.
Mr. LaRouche, stay there. That was a short segment. Long one coming up. This is key. That's what I wanted to ask you when we get back. Why are they openly announcing that they're moving most of the forces to diminish the Chinese? The Chinese, as you know, their president has now said, prepare for war with the United States. Incredible. When they hold most of our debt. They're going towards war on every front. I know the British model. Divide and conquer. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Called in with questions and comments about the show. I'm going to have John Harmon. We don't normally screen your calls, but I'm going to have John go through them and find out who's got questions for our guest. Who would want to ask our guest questions? I mean, this is the most important subjects. And then I'll do 5 minutes or even more of overdrive to get to everybody else. There's a bunch of news I haven't gotten to. Twitter, Facebook, Google, they're all announcing they're going to go along with governments to censor. I saw where now government's going to ask them, don't let people Twitter about police roadblocks. Or about police checkpoints or police speed traps. Well, what do you think a CB is? You know, Breaker 19, let me know if there's any smoky on up ahead. I mean, it's good. We're allowed to talk to each other. You don't have prior constraint on us talking to each other. But going back to our guest, you can call them if you ever want to get a copy of their intelligence report that comes out on a routine basis. Great magazine. 800-929-7566 or LaRouchePack.com. There's also other websites they have as well, but LaRouchePack.com. And he joins us now. Okay, so we're going to break, and we were talking about understanding the city of London, the Venetian black nobility, vestigial remnant of the Roman Empire and Byzantine system that survived and was taken in to Europe and then finally settling after, I guess, the Templars purge in London and Scotland, for that matter. But in London, in the city of London, the city within the city, one of those, again, cities on its own, a sovereign saying that they're above everyone. What is their mindset so people can understand it and what this great game is, and why do they have the U.S. military openly menacing the communist Chinese who our own government has helped give the MIRV technology and ICBM Long March technology to. What is this great game?
Well, the game includes the elimination of the Russia, China, India, and so forth. The immediate target for a weapons attack is from the United States if it's working under the British direction, which Obama represents. In that case, then the target is principally against the Russia, China, the other leading nations of Asia, including including India. Those are the targets. Now, the British prefer not to take the risk of the repercussions of a full-scale thermonuclear attack on that part of the world and any other places they think is a threat to them. They would prefer to have us assign a treaty agreement with the British Empire, that is, with Wall Street and London, and thus submit to the dictatorship of those powers. That way the British would get everything. It would be a bit slower than winning a thermonuclear war, but they would accept that because they don't want to be killed too. They just want the people they want to kill to be killed. So therefore, we have two options. If we allow this president, Obama, to continue in the presidency, we are doomed because the full repercussion of launching of a thermonuclear war. Our military are not guilty. Our military, our Joint Chiefs of Staff and people like that, and people of the intelligence community are of the same persuasion. They are fighting like the devil and so far have helped to prevent this from happening. It was supposed to happen soon after the killing of Gaddafi. But we, our best military people were a key factor in preventing us, and some of our intelligence community were a key factor within the limits they have of power in this system, have delayed this thing so far. But we're now coming to the point that the British are getting desperate, and they're now pushing hard against Russia, against China, for total submission.
And, sir, I want to be clear, because neocons and others write articles about myself, and they say, Jones doesn't want war with the Russians and Chinese. He must work for them. I mean, my family on both sides came over on the Mayflower. On my dad's side, the captain of the Mayflower, Battle of San Jacinto, Texas founding. How dare these banker operatives, these people that are helping sell out our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, I know you come from an old American family as well, how dare these type of people claim that because we don't want nuclear war and we don't want 30,000 drones in the skies and secret arrest of citizens, the system is showing us it's a bunch of tyrants, and then if we don't want war and conflict, we're traitors. No, they are the traitors. And is it not treason when they're launching wars under UN authority? They're not going to Congress. They're saying, we'll arrest citizens and kill citizens. I mean, I saw Lindsey Graham on TV. He goes, yeah, of course the NDAA is for citizens. We won't just arrest you. We'll kill you without a trial. I mean, they are trying to come out in the open and hide their tyranny in plain view and appeal to authority. And it's just, it's so real. You talk about nuclear war, all the elites, as you know, sir, but for the audience, you're not hyping this. They're building bunkers. The Chinese are saying, prepare for nuclear war. The Russians are threatening, saying, don't go into Syria. I mean, I've not seen rhetoric like this, even at the height of the Cold War. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And it's like World War I or World War II, but now we got nukes and bioweapons. We're sleepwalking into oblivion and have just gotten so used to it. And people are watching football games. It has that same eeriness that I saw historians write about before the Great Wars. I know you were in World War II. So, is that what your gut is telling you and your intellect as well, sir?
I'm saying that the problem lies with our responsibility as Americans. Our responsibility here is to throw this President Obama out of office. Because if we're not willing to do that, we're not going to survive.
However, that's a signal to the world that there's big changes and the power structure is being reversed.
The point is the British Empire, which controls Wall Street. Remember, Wall Street has been from the beginning a British faction. Most of our presidents, I could go through some.
Well, they set up CFR in New York to control it on record. It's all British intelligence.
Sure it is. But the point is, the problem is the killing of Kennedy and the entry into a long war of about 10 years in Indochina was intentional, and Kennedy opposed that, and he was killed to get him out of the way to get that war unclosed. That war destroyed an impetus which was existed under Kennedy for projects which would rebuild this nation in a way which we would today envy. What has happened, we have essentially three generations of people who do not know as adult experience. They do not know what the United States represented under Eisenhower and Kennedy, and of course also Roosevelt before. They don't know that. They've been terrorized by what a succession of wars all over the world. We have our troops are being slaughtered, by perpetual warfare. We don't need that warfare. And I think you'll find that any leading military officer of our system.
Well, that's my next point, sir. All the top brass has come out and said a war on Iran is insane. Most of the Israeli people, the head of Mossad was fired a year ago because he wouldn't go along with it. I mean, this is so insane. The way I've heard it described by top CIA analyst Ray McGovern is it is a roll of the dice. And there isn't a good number on the die. It just runs from bad to worse. You know, a 6 is total nuclear war. A 1 is doubling of gas prices, regional war, terror attacks, economies going under. But that's the neo-feudalistic British imperial model. And they say it's a post-industrial world. They're digging in. They've got seed vaults. They're building bunkers. I mean, the establishment, as you know, is acting like they're getting ready for World War III.
Absolutely. But the point is, I look at it from the standpoint. Complaining doesn't get you anywhere. What do we do about it?
What do we do then?
And the point is, we have to arouse the American people in a different way than we usually do. What happened after Pearl Harbor, we had a situation where Roosevelt knew that the attack on Pearl Harbor was coming, but he also knew that most of the Americans would not fight the Japanese under those conditions and others. So therefore, we did not act to defend Pearl Harbor, even though we know it was happening, because the naval and army forces commanding the position in Pearl Harbor, for example, were not going to do anything to stop it. So therefore, Roosevelt was mobilize us to war, because he knew under those conditions of an actual direct attack on the United States by Japan would mobilize the American forces. Now, I was in New York at that time when this happened, that Sunday, and I was walking across from Midtown Manhattan from east side to west side for a business appointment. And as I walked into this place, I got this hotel I went to meet my people. I heard the voice of Roosevelt coming over the reports on Roosevelt coming over. And I looked at what happened to the people, and you would, in this 2 or 3 hours following that noontime report, I saw a transformation of the American people in New York City as elsewhere. They were screaming, trying to get enlisted in the army to defend the United States. And that was not the case in the day or so before the Pearl Harbor event. Now, the problem is, I'm not looking for a Pearl Harbor-like event right now, but the problem here is the lack of competent leadership from leading centers, people in government, as in the Senate, for example, in particular, who know this stuff. They know it, but they're not doing a damn thing about it because they don't think it's safe, politically safe, for them to do it. That is a result of the demoralization of our population over 3 generations, that is among adults, from the killing of Kennedy and especially from the experience of the launching of the actual prolonged Indochina war. But we have been going through war.
I understand, sir. So what is the time frame? I mean, there's a big awakening happening, but it's not coordinated. The Congress has the lowest approval rating. Obama's unpopular. But it doesn't matter what we want or make sense. 70%+ don't want all these wars. They just keep going forward. So what do you see happening if the British puppet, the globalist puppet Obama, is not removed?
Well, what you've got now, the problem is you have no guts especially represented by all of the Republican candidates and the one and plus minus the Democratic candidate. If they, you have that list of candidates, presidential candidates or pre-candidates, this nation is demoralized. That kind of electing, that kind of junk to be the leading candidates for the direct election? You do that? You tolerate that? You tolerate these clowns?
Well, why don't the banksters centered in around London, you know, as you say, why do they want us so demoralized? I mean, I guess so that we follow every order.
Right. They want the folks, they're going to intend to reduce the population of the United States, among other places, you know. You don't think we're going to come out of this as spectators to this great war?
No.
We are among the targeted victims of this war. And if we can't...
Let's explain. The British play everybody off against each other. See, people think of it as you pick one side or the other. No. Think about the third position of the group manipulating you. That's what the Rothschilds have always done. You've written about them. They're all supporting this. Here's David Rockefeller from his memoir. We are on the verge of a global transformation. We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. Here's another one, speaking on the New York Times about how great Mao Zedong is. Here's a quote out of his memoirs, page 405. Some even believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalist and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. But they're not one world, everybody work together and be friends. They're one world corporate global empire.
It's monetarism. That's monetarism. I say the problem is, the solution is, my experience internationally, and knowing people in other countries, leading circles in other countries, important nations, I know that if the people of the United States would say what they are thinking now, in a large degree, they're thinking that this collection of Republican candidates and this Democratic candidate, Obama, the president, that as long as these people are treated with respect, the American people are going to submit and they will not fight. And if they will not fight, we're duck soup. And the problem is our politics stinks as a result of three generations, effectively, in terms of adults. What happened when Jack Kennedy was killed and we went into the Indochina War? We have never reversed that trend.
I understand. So what about this issue, sir? You talk about provocations. I was noticing that the Israeli papers reported that the folks that ran the Levon affair, blowing up U.S. Movie theaters and things full of U.S. service people in Egypt to try to blame Egypt and start a big war. I noticed they were recently given awards. I know they've had, like I said, that publisher saying, you know, go after the president if he doesn't launch the wars. What about Israel or the British or other groups? We know Israel was created by the... big banksters.
Israel as such is not a relevant problem in this case. You have an Israeli premier and a small circle of British stooges who are carrying the name of Israel against the objections of traditional leaders of Israel. The leading traditional leaders of Israel up to this point have all opposed this kind of operation, including against, you know, Iran and so forth. They're against it.
What's going to happen if Iran gets attacked?
Well, if Iran gets attacked, that's intended by the British to be the trigger used to launch the war. It depends on the point at which the British are able to get a secure control over ordering, through the President of the United States, ordering the launching of World War III as a thermonuclear war, concentrated in Asia, but not limited to Asia.
Well, I've noticed they've moved the force to Asia, the naval and nuke forces, but the Russians and people are starting to concentrate in the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf and Syria. But I guess they're thinking China's going to come in to back up Iran.
No, it's different. It's a whole package. The whole Asia-centered package is one package of nations. Russia, China, India, and other leading nations, Japan, Korea, and so forth, who want no part of this policy.
No, I understand. They're not going along. I mean, I know they're moving the fleets and the troops there and to Australia, but what I'm saying is I see a lot of conflict in the Middle East, too. How does that kick off stuff in Asia? What's their excuse?
All that Middle East case, that problem now, is all comes from Britain, number one, and it comes from our presidency, the Obama presidency. That's the cause of all the Middle East problems right now.
All right, I want to ask you when we come back and take a few calls, how are they planning on starting a war with the communist Chinese then? We'll be right back.
You take a mortal man and put him in control. Watch him become a...
All right, I'm going to do 5 minutes of overdrive, and hopefully Lynn LaRouche can stay with us. I forgot to ask him during the break, but I will get to some of the calls there. I want to talk to Mr. LaRouche. Folks like Dan and Teeny and others, and I'll try to get to everybody else that's there. But I was thinking about the psychology, say, of Don Corzine, Obama's big financial advisor, stealing $1.2 billion. Now they've announced they're going to keep it because he lost a 40-to-1 bet. The hubris level, the chutzpah level, the bravado level, whatever you want to call it, the megalomania level, I don't ever get people that just think they're 100% bulletproof. Maybe when I was 14 years old. But I just don't get these guys that have all this power. I mean, I've got a little bit of power with millions of listeners, and it kind of is a big responsibility, freaks me out. I try to be more careful about what I say because, I realize that that it affects things. But there's this opposite where you have all these madmen running things who make 40-to-1 bets. And I don't know how they think they're going to make it through a big nuclear war. They're just crazy.
Well, the Corzine case, as I know it, would give you the answer to that. Corzine is not a thief. He's not a bad person. But he came up as a person seeking an impulse for a career. He took the career he had available to him. And what he did as a banker was what was accepted in that time and is accepted generally.
I know. That's what I mean. It's reckless to make 40-to-1 bets with other people's money.
Of course it is, but the point is, that's the system now. And you can't blame the individual, the whole system is there. Look at your entire Congress.
I'm saying this is a crazy system with nuclear weapons. These people are crazy.
Of course, but think about the repeal of Glass-Steagall that occurred. All the worst damage that has been done to the United States and its people was the revoking of Glass-Steagall in the last phase of that process. And the repeal of Glass-Steagall opened the gates for all the hell which has burst out since that time. So you have to blame the people who orchestrated that and the people who defended the key bankers that were doing it. The audits of this came from London. But people weren't thinking about loyalty or anything else. They were thinking about money.
Sure, but that's my point, is they knew when they opened up the derivatives casino, fractional reserve banking to the moon, that it would cause a global implosion. What I'm saying is they are trying to ride this target, this bomb down to the target, like Dr. Strangelove.
In some cases, yes, the leading ones, the British ones and the key people in Wall Street, the top people, Wall Street, the real Wall Street, Morgan, and that interest. They've been thieving and people have loved them. In Maine, admire, not love them in the sense of physically loving them, but admiring them for their achievement and wishing that they could have the same thing. Our morality has been destroyed by the destruction of our characteristic American initiative, which is not a money issue. We're not monetarists, not honest Americans. We believe in a credit system. Our system was based on a credit system. And all this stuff is a violation of the credit system. The main thing we have to think about is the cure of this problem rather than the complaint against it. My point is we are in a situation of crisis where I believe that if more people would respond, we could, first of all of these Republican candidates for president, a joke, worse than a joke. Obama, an abomination. Then why are these abominations listed as the probable presidential candidates? That's where our problem lies.
Lyndon, we've got to go to break. Will you come back and take a couple more calls with us?
Sure.
Or a couple of calls, great. And I do want to ask you, because I understand you disagree with some folks on solutions, if you're specifically talking about Ron Paul, because he's against the war, and he certainly is a man of principle, and he's predicted everything that's happening as well. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones. I'm looking for people that have the wisdom to spot savings, opportunity, and recognize risk. Saving means to make money. The Calbin Pure Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated and twice as good as what you're using now. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils that contain no useless dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Your risk is the hundreds of hazardous toxic detergents that give you rashes, itching sores, and deteriorating clothing called lint. If you want something better, if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. Getting a free catalog is easy by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calbin on the web at 5starsoap.com. Take charge of your health now by calling 800-340-7091 or see Calbin on the web at 5starsoap.com.
Coast to coast, direct from Austin. You're listening to the Alex Jones Broadcasting Network.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
All right, briefly, because I want to jam in a few calls here. We're going to twist Lyndon's arm to go even further if we don't do this quickly. You're saying all the candidates are a joke. The other Republican candidates are pure establishment hacks who put out rhetoric but are bought and paid for. Look at Mitt Romney. I agree with you. But, you know, I know some people have attacked Ron Paul saying, well, if you cut everything, everything will implode. And I understand that some of the banksters want to cut things once they've gotten their bankster welfare. My whole point is that it's the big banks that are getting the corporate welfare to begin with, and that's who Ron Paul says he'll cut it from. He also says he'll end all these wars and bring the troops home immediately. Briefly, what's your view of Ron Paul?
Well, Ron Paul is, I'm dealing with the real issue before me. The real issue is the United States cannot be saved from its own folly unless we immediately enact Glass-Steagall now, not down in the future, now, because we're on the point of the actual breakdown crisis of the entire United States economy. And if we do not get that Glass-Steagall renewal enacted now, this nation is finished. Economically.
Well, we can certainly see the depressions here. They've been telling us it's a great economy, but they admit that the numbers they're putting out are fake. And
right. The problem is a presidential candidate who does not propose an immediate Glass-Steagall enactment is not fit to be a presidential candidate, because the United States will cease to exist unless that change is made. That's not sufficient, but it's necessary. Without the Glass-Steagall Act, you cannot save this nation now. And if you're not pushing the Glass-Steagall Act now, you're not fit to be president. And the second thing, this will not be sufficient. Our intrinsic banking system now, even the non-speculative type, is so rotted out and so weakened, we do not have the adequate amount of credit needed to be organized to save this nation. Therefore, we need to make a change in the actual banking system to go to a true credit system, which was the original policy with the U.S. Constitution. If we go to a credit system, take one project, for example. Take NWAPA. NWAPA will employ 4 million people, and it will start to do that the minute you start the project. The project is fully designed in principle. There's some details that would have to be worked out, but as designed by the company initially, back there in the 1960s. That policy, there are other policies, other programs similarly. We could restore this nation at an accelerating rate rapidly if we pass two laws. One, Glass-Steagall. That cleans up the banking system. Number two, the saved banking system will not be sufficient to save the nation. If you try to maintain a typical monetary system, you cannot save the United States. It may not die right away, but it won't recover. If we go to a credit system as well as a Glass-Steagall reform, we will immediately be able, with the cooperation of other nations, to get induced to join with us in this. We can start a recovery of the United States, of a United States style recovery.
Lyndon, let me ask you this now. Can you do one more 10-minute segment with us?
Sure. So
we can finish up and take a few calls from people that are holding, and then
Sure. After
Lyndon leaves us, I'll get to the others that have been holding for a while, like Mark and others. But we're going to go to break here in a moment. But briefly, how do they plan on starting a war in Asia?
The plan is as follows. The Israelis were to start the war. The Israelis are supposed to start a provocation against Iran. In the meantime, in the middle of Asia, West Asia, you have Syria. Now, Syria is the most important nation in West Asia. It represents not the most capable military force in terms of quality of military force. I'm not talking about the extent of weapons and so, but the quality of the troops. It also is tied to emotional.
Tell you what, start over when we come back quickly, because I want to go over all this in one piece, and then we'll take a few calls with Lyndon LaRouche. But we're looking at your view of the grand chessboard. But strategically, right there, it is at a key spot to control that whole area and the Mediterranean, the Russians' only Mediterranean port. The whole world is steaming towards a giant conflict. We'll continue back live on the other side with your phone calls and Lyndon LaRouche. LaRouchePack.com.
Destruction of your soul.
Mind control. It's mind control.
All right, welcome, folks. Again, here we are on the Friday edition. I'm going to be back this Sunday live in studio 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And, of course, tonight on the Nightly News, we're talking to a constitutional lawyer, a researcher, guy that wrote the big U.S.-UN Biological Weapons Treaty, Dr. Francis Boyle. He's going to be on the Nightly News with me this evening. Paul Watson's doing the news portion. I'm doing the interview portion, and that's all at PrisonPlanet.tv. Lyndon LaRouche, who needs no introduction, is our guest for one more segment so we can get to some of your phone calls. And we appreciate him joining us. Sir, finishing up, starting over, the grand chessboard, why the U.S. is admitting is preparing for a war right now. In Asia, they're now talking about open war with Pakistan, who's got 100 nukes. I mean, this is a world war. Syria, proxy armies taking over Libya. It's all barreling forward. Why do the global financial interests centered in Wall Street, London, Frankfurt, and other areas, why are they wanting this? Why are they doing this?
Their principle is that they're not concerned about the amount of money in question or the amount of wealth per capita. They're concerned that they control it, whatever it is, because they know if they control it, they can control the future. They don't care about the number of people who die or do not or who live. They care about their faction being immortal, that their faction must reign as dominant over the planet forever. In the tradition of the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, the Crusader system, the new Venetian party, which is what this thing is. So therefore, they're concerned about, they really think in historical terms, but very bad historical terms. These empires always think in the terms of they're controlling the future destiny of mankind. And they don't care how many people they lose of their own forces, how many they themselves kill of their own forces. What they care about is the future. That is, they are principled, as most of our politicians are not principled. Most of our politicians are thinking about the amount of money they get for their pleasure. The British Empire is more moral by being immoral. It's morally immoral.
Well, they're such incredibly vicious control freaks. They want to win. That's why they're into eugenics. They want to create an artificial habitat, control all human activity, and be God, basically.
Exactly. That's the idea of God in terms of pagan belief goes back to the, you know, things like the Siege of Troy, where the question was, no matter how many people you kill, because you get to be the top dog, you can kill the opposition. the remaining opposition, which is what they did. They killed everybody except a few harmless people in Troy once they beat that racket. And that's the way the British think. That's their morality. They have a morality. The problem with our people, our corrupt people, is they have no morality. They have only personal greed, personal gratification. They don't give a damn about the future.
That's right. The globalists at the top, they've convinced us that everybody's thinking on a 6-month, and the ruling elite are only thinking about themselves, and it's everybody for themselves. But really, they've got all these minions to sell out for money they printed out of nothing. For the globalists, for the top controllers, they're not even about money. They're about total control, long-term strategic chessboard, and the end game is global Holocaust, global eugenics, and then they reemerge with their whole Moonraker scenario. Incredible. So briefly, how do they plan on starting these wars? You're saying Syria and others and Iran. It's the kickoff going into Pakistan and then China?
No, it works differently. The plan basically is the British intend to destroy the United States by absorbing it, killing off most of the Americans, and a few things like that, you know. But the tendency is for them to do the impossible. At the time that the British system is entirely bankrupt, Rothschild is totally bankrupt. They're bankrupt. They want to save the system for the future. Therefore, they are religious, but they're on the devil's side. We're on the other side, except we don't have any supporters. We have many people who claim to be religious, but they don't act religious. They act on the basis of personal greed and satisfaction and their sexual lusts and things like that. So that, and I'm here I am, you know, with people like me. There are a few of us around. And I think in terms of immortality, too. But I'm not on the Satan side. They are.
Well, that's right. Anybody who's truly awake and conscious and fulfilled is understanding that we all come and go. It is the species that matters, and it is the building up of humanity that is the great work. And for the global controllers, they want to take it all over, wreck everything, so nobody is independent, separate from their system, and they don't even offer mankind a place in their system with them running it. They don't like populations. They don't like people. They want us dead. It's like the James Bond movie. When he says to Goldfinger, "Do you expect me to talk?" And he goes, "No, I expect you to die." They're not giving us quarter. And as crazy as all this looks, they're really moving us forward. Are things going well for them, Lyndon LaRouche?
No, they're not. The point is, if we have a few more people with a bit of guts, and we've got Russia and China and other countries like Korea, like Japan and so forth in Asia, but other countries as well, and large movements in people in Europe who are on the opposite side or against that side. But so there is the potential resources, physical resources as well, to turn the situation around, to get rid of Obama, retire him into some zoo someplace where he'll be safe for the rest of his life, get rid of this problem. We can do that. It's a good we can do in this time. The capability of doing it is there if the willingness is there. We can win. We can save this, not to grab power, but to save civilization. There are parts of civilization would like to grow and improve things. And we just remove this problem, and we could remove it. The removal of Obama from office while he's still president, before he starts a war, would be sufficient to open the gates for the salvation, at least in one sense, of civilization.
All right, let's go to Dan in Florida. You're on the air with Lyndon LaRouche, then Tini, then others. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, how you doing, Alex?
Good.
Actually, kind of got like a side question real quick. I wonder what's going on with Jason Burmes. Whatever happened to him?
Jason does the nightly news quite often. He always attends. He's done this twice. He came here and made one film, went back home, where his family and mother and sister and others are. And then he went back. So I think he was just on about a month ago on the nightly news with us.
Okay, cool. But yeah, my question was basically about the Rothschild family. My sister had married into their family probably about 10 years ago. And, you know, I'm noticing, you know, when I first saw the situation, I didn't really think too much of it. Just thought he was a regular guy. But lately I've been noticing some things that are really, really strange lately. And, you know, I can see my family kind of having some issues here and then. I'm not going to talk about them all over the air.
But, well, it's, There's a very simple answer. There are complicated explanations which really don't mean much. But you have to think from the top down. What happened is there was a process of successive imperial systems in Europe. And one came after the Byzantine Empire. And out of this came what became the Venetian party, the first Venetian party. The first Venetian party was then defeated later on in the course of the change in religious alignments and so forth. And we started with the modern Venetian party, called the Second Venetian Party, the New Venetian Party. And this was a key factor which led to all the wars and so forth that came out of the 17th and 18th century. So in this process, the family of Rothschild, which was part of the families of the Venetian oligarchy and were tied to what was called the Second or the New Venetian oligarchy which became the British Kingdom. This group became the central feature of a group of Venetian bankers, international Venetian bankers, in which the name of Rothschild became leading during the course of the Napoleonic Wars. Since that time, the Second Venetian Party, typified by the leadership of the Rothschild family, as a financial family, became a dominant feature in the operations of the British Empire. So it's not that the Rothschilds contained some magical genius of evil. It's simply they joined a club of evil. And it is evil.
Absolutely. So, let's go to Tini and then Michael. Tini in Indiana, quick question for Luna LaRouche.
Yes, if Congress won't impeach Obama, why can't the American people impeach Obama?
Yeah, that's a good idea. There's got to be other ways.
All it takes is a number of politicians with the guts to push through this reform. That is, Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. That will get him suspended from power, if the cooperation is there. The suspension of him from power would block World War III.
Which is just insane. They are moving towards giant multi-region wars, and nuclear weapons are already being threatened to be used. The Israel and the U.S. are saying we may use tactical nukes up front against Iran.
It's not Israel. It's a certain group in Israel which are controlled by the same process.
No, I know. And then it's sold as patriotic for people that live in Israel to be for this madness. And you got a bunch of idiots that don't even understand military matters who are supporting it. Thank you, Tini. One quick final call for our guest. Michael in Texas, go ahead. Quick comment or question for our guest.
Was it Michael in Texas?
Yeah, that's you, buddy.
Okay. Terribly sorry to bother you. I appreciate you accepting the call. Quick call. Would y'all consider becoming content advisors for the corporation Wake Up America? WakeUpAmerica.com/constitutionalbelievers. If you take a look at that, we are trying to return this country back to the constitutional values, and we need to wake up America. And I appreciate everything that you're doing to wake up America as well. And I appreciate everything that all of your organization and your guests do for Waking Up America as well. Can they as well become content advisors for Wake Up America organization?
Well, I mean, everybody's looking for a magic bullet. Basically, we have a treasonous hijacked government. We need to stop the movement towards World War III. We need to reverse all this. I mean, Iran tried to get their uranium enriched in Europe where it couldn't be used for bombs. The West didn't want to do that. Let me ask, and I appreciate your call, sir. Let me ask Lynn LaRouche this question. I know that they threw out Mohammad Mossadegh and then the West was involved at some level actually betraying the Shah, not saying he was a good guy. I know they're heavily involved with British intelligence and certain elements of the Wahhabist. I'm not saying, all of that Muslim sect, the majority are bad. I'm just saying that obviously we know Al-Qaeda, is a Western foil. All of that's going on. And we know that this system is expanding on the subject of Iran. We know that with Iran-Contra, there were the behind-the-scenes deals with the mullahs and the CIA. I mean, sometimes I wonder if there aren't elements of the Iranian establishment aren't still working with the West in some type of elaborate saber-rattling to try to basically manipulate the price of oil and things. Lyndon LaRouche, we're almost out of time. I appreciate all the time you've spent with us, but please give us your take on that.
Well, the point is, you go back to the issue of this. It was Dulles, who worked for the British, who sank Mossadegh. And that was what started this whole problem.
No, it was the British wanted all the oil for free, and Kermit Roosevelt and MI6, CIA MI6 team staged terror attacks on Muslims and blamed it on Mossadegh, and they used the Muslim extremists to overthrow Mossadegh, then double-crossed them and put the Shah in, then double-crossed him and put the Ayatollahs in, and tell our public that the Ayatollahs got in on their own. So I'm saying, is that relationship still there? I'm sorry.
The relationship is British. Any parts of the whole region. And now you have fluctuations where people who've been taken down by the British so often as their allies, who they revolt against the British. But it has always been the British Empire, which was the only significant force in the planet after the fall of the Soviet Union, was the United States, possibly versus the British. And everything hangs on that. We are the axis of the issue. If we can do our job, and I believe the American people, if they're mobilized properly, will respond. We can change the direction of history on this planet in a short period of time. But we need some leadership out there who are not like what we have as so-called selected leadership. They will not do the job. But I know that there are people in the Congress who are behaving badly or negligently or with cowardice. I know they're not bad people. And I know if we can get a little movement going on this thing, those people can be mustered together. And with that force, we can change the direction of this whole process. But we have to do it quickly.
Well, you've got a lot of your ideas and information at LaRouchePack.com. There's also LaRouchePub.com. Let's take one more call for our guest. Let's talk to Nick in London. You're on the air with Lyndon LaRouche. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. Hello, Mr. LaRouche. It's great to see that you believe in Venetian mercantilism. I also subscribe to Dr. Mark Colesman's view. I can see, living here for 10 years, I can see that the society engineering that's taken place here, everybody's sort of treading on eggshells just to get ahead, you know. And I saw a documentary years back saying that the reason why the World War II was stopped was the American family values. Now, because they have downgraded us so much through fluoride in the water and Baal worship and just engineering us with propaganda, there's not enough character in your Congress, and there's not enough character in countries like this to stand up for what is right. Now, I believe what Alex Jones believes, which is stolen valor is not on. You know, people of honor, people of integrity should stand up for what is right and rout out these snakes, sons of snakes, grandsons of snakes. And the time has come where we realize that there is no quarter given by them. But unfortunately, they've got the Islamic Brotherhood, which they founded back in the 20s through the MI6, and they've put a fire under them. And here we have a gene pool. Here we have a society who all act communally. Any mature Islamic scholar does not consider it a religion. They consider it an empire. And they've had a fire lit under their arse, and these people do not turn back. They are going to crash the wall.
All right, well, let me ask that question then. We're almost out of time. There is a stirring up just by the global implosion and the increase in commodities prices, but there is a stirring of conflict in the Middle East and throwing out their old minions like Mubarak. What is behind that? Is that just part of order out of chaos, Lyndon?
That's the orchestration. The way you control, you have to look at the 7 years war principle as it was represented in 1763. The 7 years war principle has been the basis of the operations of the British Empire ever since that date. And they always play the same game. get the other parties to quarrel among themselves, and when they're weakened by their mutual quarreling, come in as an imperial force and take impose power from above. That's the way they do it. It's always been the same. And people are corrupted because they've become involved with mistaken passions. They're so eager to fight with somebody else who may be mistaken, but is not the real enemy. The enemy is the way guys waiting for the two competences to be knocked down by their mutual battle.
Exactly. There's always a third or fourth or fifth player. And you go back to Rothschilds, always funding both sides of a war.
That's how it worked.
And then owning media on both sides, playing the two off against each other. It's so elementary. And they want all of what's left of Christendom and Islam to kill each other. And it's just, it needs to not happen.
Yes. Precisely. And the point is, they're so discredited presently that if there's sufficient power mobilized by a leading group of people from different parts of the society to agree, we're not going to do this nonsense anymore. That's all that's required. And that's why gutless candidates for president who will not deliver, presidential candidates which will not be what's needed, but compromise and make compromises which sell us out. It takes, as we did it with Pearl Harbor, we reacted to Pearl Harbor properly. We won the war. And but for Truman's follies, with various people, but for Truman's follies, we'd have still won the war, not only for ourselves, but for the planet as a whole.
Well, expanding on that, it's all coming to a head. There's no doubt the global social engineers are trying to orchestrate a giant multi-region war, as the RAND Corporation says, and nuclear weapons are in the cards. It is insane. Lyndon LaRouche, thank you for the extended hour and 20-minute interview. LaRouchePack.com or 800-929-7566. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Wow, well, that was an amazing extended interview. Please thank him, guys, in the minute or two I have left. I got Mark and Diane and Houston and Tony and everybody here that are holding. And I've got all this other news. I'm going to cover a lot of it on the nightly news tonight. I didn't get to. I mean, it's getting bonkers crazy how fast all this stuff is happening. Everything we were worried about, everything that we were concerned about, it's either happened or is happening. And more to come. If you think stuff's crazy now, we have just begun the slide down into what is the new dark age. And the globalists write white papers about a post-industrial world, and you know, and they've sold us to love torture and corruption and abortion and death and war and just and all this evil. And when you're young, you think, oh, people that don't want you to have sin, they just don't want you to have a good time. There's not a good time in all this sin. Okay? They sell sin like it's sexy, but it always, sin means you're concerned with petty garbage. You worship idols that don't deliver. Sin leads to the end of the family, the end of decency, the end of just everything wholesome. We need goodliness, a word people make fun of. We need to try to be good men. Lord knows we're already so corrupt. If you don't try to be good, you will go directly to the devil. I mean, it's a struggle. And people that don't struggle against evil give into it.